Pastor Jason Cooley here with OPBC Online, a ministry of Old Paths Baptist Church in Northfield, Minnesota. And we are coming to you with another OPBC Online here. And we are going to discuss today Google Gods, the Fourth Kingdom, and the Quest for Immortality. And I've got Brother Jim here with me today.
Amen. Hey, brother. How you doing?
I'm doing good, brother. I'm doing real good. And it's good to have you here. And we are going to talk about some interesting things here today that have come to pass. And you know what's funny about this, brother, is that it has just come out, this article, where they're basically admitting so many things. It's an article about Silicon Valley's quest for immortality. And you know, one of the most amazing things that I noticed from this that shocked me was the immensity of this project. Like, there's not just one crazy guy working on this.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Not only that, there's multiple factions coming at it, so they're covering all their bases. And it is like, I mean, if you want to talk about a conspiracy theory, I mean, it's about as big as a conspiracy theory as it gets, from food to GMOs to pollutants to literally everything, straight down to the physical degradation and manipulation of our DNA.
Right. So it is, you know, it is not like this is a single mission of like one person. I mean, it is a conspiracy big time to change and alter the DNA of man and to make him so he is not man anymore. He's not God's creation anymore, but he becomes something else. And before we get started with this, though, a few things I just want to say. One of those things is I was just at a meeting, a prophecy conference, and, just visiting there, and Pastor Mike Hoggard was there. And he was talking about this same subject a little bit there. And then in private, I talked to him a little bit about it. And I just thought it was interesting that he came to some of the same conclusions that I've come to with some of this, that, you know, there's this thing is so big. It, like you said, it goes from the food, it goes to the genetics. I found out there's different factions. There's the meatheads or whatever they call them. And then there's the RoboCops.
Yep. The meat puppets and the RoboCops.
Yeah. Yeah. I call them meatheads. Yeah. The meat puppets and the RoboCops. Right. And, I mean, I watched RoboCop when I was a kid. I mean, I watched a lot of wicked things that I shouldn't have, but I watched RoboCop when I was a kid, man.
Yep. I know. I did too.
And I never thought I'd see the day where that would actually happen.
No, we're watching it. And another faction that our military is using is, you know, our injured military. They're all human guinea pigs for all of these robotic accessories and all this stuff, you know.
We have no idea where that's going.
Yes. Yep. Yeah. Or where it's already been.
Yeah. See, usually they're about 10 years ahead of where they tell us they are. But, you know, Silicon Valley is releasing all this stuff and people are starting to get interested in it. They're starting to wonder what's going on because, okay, here's the thing that people don't understand, okay? Everybody has this idea the Mark of the Beast is like a bad episode of Left Behind, okay?
Exactly, yep.
Right? It's like a 70s. Oh, I better be careful not go like this. Somebody might think I'm trying to do some kind of weird symbol or sign or something. Be careful about that. There's people on the internet that'll be, stop the frame. A bunch of loons. Get a job, literally. Okay, anyway. but the point is that this is not new. This whole thing is not new. They've been doing this stuff for a long time. Satan has been doing this for a long time.
Amen.
You know, go ahead, brother.
Yeah, you know, something that's very interesting. I was very involved in multi-level marketing and all that stuff. And so I listened to all these personal development audios and whatnot. And I don't know if you probably heard of Doug Weed. Doug Weed was a big Bush supporter. And
was he on the Ron Paul campaign too?
He might have been Doug Weed. And then, you know, he came out for Trump, of course, and all that stuff. But Doug Weed was in Amway. And one of the recordings that I listened to, I can't remember. The recording is actually not that old. The recording might be, say, 15 or 16 years old. But he is retelling this account of this secret club that met called the Three Percenters. And he mentioned that the name dropping that he was doing, like Art Linkletter and different things. And he even said, you know, this was supposed to be a secret meeting. And here I am giving all the details about it. And the whole purpose of these Three Percenters was to discuss longevity, all the stuff that we're going to be talking about today. And this was literally had to probably be in like the 80s.
Yeah, they've been talking about this for a long time, and they've been planning and plotting this for a long time. You know, you sent me a video, I want to say it was a month ago or so, and Billy Graham was talking about this stuff. Didn't you send me that?
Yeah, that was
meeting or whatever?
It was a TED Talks, and I want to say it was from 1998.
That was creepy.
It was super creepy because in this video, Billy Graham, he's like praising like companies like Oracle, and he literally makes this statement that basically Oracle should work on eliminating sin from man. And he makes this, and he says it in passing, like it's, and I'm like, wow, you know. And then he goes on, Billy Graham goes on to present his gospel to all the great Californians and the people of TED.
Don't you like it? You know, even his message is hybrid. Okay. Yep. He's giving you a hybrid message. He's telling you, oh, you know, you should, what he's saying is you should program sin out of DNA if it's possible, but hey, trust Jesus if it's not.
Right. It's exactly what he said. It was
until we evolved to that place. Trust Jesus.
Yep.
What a sick, I mean, I can't, you know, what baffles me is people can't see around Billy Graham. That's what baffles me. Anyway, I don't want to get down that road because we'll never get off of it. But the point is that what we're trying to do is say, you know what, this isn't new. The reason why we call this the Google Gods is because Google is at the forefront of this fight. And they are literally want to live forever. But I want to take you to Genesis chapter 3 here, first of all. So if you got your Bibles handy, get your Bibles out. If you're driving in a truck, don't get your Bible out. Just listen, okay? And check the references later, because I don't want you driving around and hitting something. Because we have a lot of truck drivers that listen to us.
That's right.
So we don't want you doing that. But anyway, Genesis chapter 3, verse number 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. Now, back to that mark of the beast. It's going to be very subtle.
Exactly.
That's the problem. These people think, oh, you're going to be forced and your head's going to get chopped off. You know, no, they're going to want it, okay? The Bible says God's going to send them strong delusion.
Yep, that's right.
And the delusion is going to be this. You can live forever.
Yep.
If you just take this mark, you're going to live forever.
You will not really die.
Right.
Gods.
Exactly.
Yep.
So that's the promise here. Now, the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. So Eve didn't tell the truth here. Because God never told her she couldn't touch it.
Right.
He said not to eat it. All right. For God doth know. Oh, wait, excuse me. Verse number 4. And the serpent said unto the woman. And by the way, that the serpent is still saying the same thing today.
That's right.
And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. You see that?
Yep.
Ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil.
Yep.
What was the promise there? The promise?
Ye shall be as gods.
Yep.
Yeah.
And what's the promise that's being made? You know, Ray Kurzweil, he was asked, is there a God? And his response was, not yet.
Mm.
No, yeah. Not yet, but there will be. Hopefully my audio is okay. I'm hearing like a ringing a little bit. Hopefully it doesn't. Does it sound okay from your end? Yeah. Okay, good. Good. All right. And we apologize here. We're doing this a little bit different. We're doing it through a Zoom here because of just some recording difficulties and things like that. So if it comes out a little choppy for you, we're working on that, okay, when you listen to it. But I think it should be fine. Anyway, so he says here, ye shall be as gods. That's the promise of Satan.
Yep.
That's his promise. And Google wants to make you a god. Okay? That's what Google wants to make you. But we know what happened to Eve. What happened to her? She died.
That's right.
Satan never fulfills his promises. He never does. He can't. He can't give you what God can. He can only give you a cheap imitation. But he'll never give you what God can give you because he can't.
It's interesting, too, with the emphasis on Google, because there is a there's a website called 23andMe.
Mm-hmm.
And that is actually, I want to say that is Mark Zuckerberg's, is it? I want to say it's Mark Zuckerberg's wife. So I think it's Facebook's wife. It's called 23andMe. And the entire website, project, and program is all about DNA, selecting DNA, basically genetically modifying your kids so that you have perfect, healthy kids. And it's called 23andMe.
Wow.
And what's even crazier about that is the first time I heard about it, I searched it or something. I had never heard about it before. And the next day in my Gmail account, I got an email from them soliciting me. And I never requested anything from them.
Wow.
No, you know what? I didn't get a Gmail. I got a literal letter in the mail, like it was like the following week or the week after that. I got a mail solicitation from them, and it was the creepiest thing.
Wow.
Yeah.
You know, that's unbelievable, really. But it shouldn't be that surprising, though, because these people, they're wicked, and yep, they have an agenda, and their agenda is total takeover of man and to merge man and beast together. That's what their whole goal is. And they'll do whatever they can to accomplish that. And they're very crafty with the way they do it. However, it's an enticement because Satan is very subtle. And that's the point of this, okay? So we're going to get into this here. Silicon Valley's quest for to live forever. And it's an article here that was on the Drudge Report, actually, just a few days ago. It's being released April 3rd, 2017 edition. The New Yorker Today, it says here. Pretty amazing when you see it. That these people are admitting it. They have no problem admitting what they're doing.
Yeah, not only that, I mean, the other incredible thing, it's a 42-page article. I mean, it's very detailed and explaining the factions and what they're doing and how they're doing it.
Yeah, and on YouTube and on Sermon Audio, we will link up to the article so people can read it and see it. So let's get started. I'm going to start reading some of these, and you know, you feel free to interrupt me too at any time, and I'll have you read some of this too as well.
Good,
but you know, we'll bounce back and forth, but feel free to interrupt with scripture and other things like that that become applicable and just thoughts and everything, because it's going to like seriously jog your memory. And folks, I'm going to try not to bore you too much with all the bogged down details of everything, but I do feel like it's important to get started. And here's why I want to start kind of at the beginning here, okay? Because there's a few things. Number one, here's the first thing. I want to show you the magnitude of the people that are involved with this. Okay. There's some people that are involved with this that It's shocking. Okay. And they want to live forever. They just have this desire. You would be shocked at what a man will do to keep out of hell.
That's right.
Satan said skin for skin, right?
Yep, that's right.
All that a man hath shall he give for what? His life.
Yep, for his life. That's right.
Now, why did the devil say that about Job? Why did he say that about man when he was talking to God? Because he studied man and he knows.
Yep.
He knows. All right, here we go. We're going to read this on a velvety March evening in Mandeville Canyon, high above the rest of Los Angeles. Norman Lear's living room was jammed with powerful people, eager to learn the secrets of longevity. Mm-hmm. When the symposium's first speaker asked how many people there wanted to live to 200, if they could remain healthy, almost every hand went up. Understandably, then, the Moroccan Philo chicken puffs weren't going fast. The venture capitalists were keeping slim to maintain their imposing vitality. The scientists were keeping slim because they'd read and in some cases done the research on caloric restriction. And the Hollywood stars were keeping slim, well, because of course they're Hollywood. So they have that desire, right?
Yep.
Okay. So what we have here also is, let's see. When Liz Blackburn, who won a Nobel Prize for her work in genetics, took questions, guess who asked one? Goldie Hawn, yeah. Regal on a comfy sofa, purred, I have a question about the mitochondria. I've been told about a molecule called
glutathione,
yeah, that helps the health of the cell. Glutathione is a powerful antioxidant that protects cells and their mitochondria, which provide energy. Some in Hollywood call it the God molecule.
Yeah.
You think these people don't know what they're doing and what they're playing with? They know exactly what they're playing with. They're playing with the devil, and they know it.
Yeah.
Ye shall be as gods. Okay, so there we go. Let's see. But taken in excess, it can muffle a number of the bodily repair mechanisms, leading to liver and kidney problems, or even the rapid and potentially fatal sloughing of your skin. Blackburn gently suggested that a varied, healthy diet was best and that no single molecule is the answer to the puzzle of aging. You know, here's the interesting thing, okay? And we're going to get into this. They're trying to crack the code, right? That's what they're trying to do. That's the whole goal, is to crack the code. All right, we're going to read about that in a minute. Yep. But the point is, that's what they're trying to do, Brother Jim. They're trying to crack the code.
The DNA code.
Yep, because they want to live forever, and they believe they can crack the code. And every time they try, what happens?
Right. Well, and the reason that we die isn't because we are fallen, sinful man, but the reason that we die is we have junk DNA.
Right.
And the junk DNA is what messes stuff up. So if we just get rid of the junk, like if we just get rid of all the spots where God screwed up, you know, it's not that man fell. And it's not that man sinned, but God screwed up, you know, when he set this all up. And once we get rid of the junk, we'll just live forever.
Right. So that's what these psychos believe. Yeah. And I call them psychos and in the most affectionate way I possibly can, right?
Right. Yeah.
But anyway, so here we have it. So they go on, they continue on here. Energy, you know, they call it the God molecule, but taken in excess, it muffles it. Why? Because you're not going to be able to just put a little Band-Aid on something. You're not God and you didn't create it, okay?
Right.
All right, so moving on here. Yet the premise of the evening was that answers and maybe even an encompassing solution were just around the corner. The party was the kickoff event for the National Academy of Medicine's grand challenge in healthy longevity, which will award at least $25 million for breakthroughs in the field. That's a lot of money, folks.
Yep.
That's a lot of money. The party was the kickoff event for that. So this is what they wanted to do.
Victor Dizal.
Yeah, go ahead and read that.
Yeah, Victor Dizal, the Academy's president, stood to acknowledge several of the scientists in the room. He praised their work with enzymes that help regulate aging, with teasing out genes that control lifespan in various dog breeds, and with a technique by which an old mouse is surgically connected to a young mouse, shares its blood, and within weeks becomes younger.
Wow. Okay, so that is absolutely scary, okay? Because what they're saying, they don't want to do this to mice. They want to do it to men.
That's right. Yeah, and they're already doing it. You know, you can read articles about these. I want to say it's Sergey Brin. I'm almost positive it's Sergey Brin. And what he's been doing is he's been getting these blood transfusions from young people. Because, you know, young people just sign up all the time like, yeah, you know, I'm 8 or 9 or 10 years old and I just want to donate my pint of blood to some multi-billionaire so that, you know, he can do a blood transfusion.
Yeah, that's sick. All right, yeah, that's like, sick.
Who are these kids that are lining up to get their blood withdrawn?
Yeah. That's another story altogether, isn't it?
That's right.
That's an absolute another story. Okay. Well, moving on here, he talks about, let's see, who's this John Yoon guy?
Yeah. Jun Yun, a doctor who runs a healthcare hedge fund, announced that he and his wife had given the first $2 million towards funding the challenge. I have the idea that aging is plastic. That it's encoded, he said. If something is encoded, you can crack the code.
Okay, now stop there. Listen to what he's saying.
Yeah.
They're working on, they want your DNA. They want to crack the code.
Yep.
They want immortality. And they believe that they can hook you up and break into that DNA and jailbreak DNA. That's literally what they want to do.
That's what they're
trying to jailbreak DNA.
Yeah.
To make it whatever they want, to use it however they want.
When you think about it, we're in this digital society, social media, and all this stuff. And like, oh, well, I jailbroke my phone, you know, and now I can do all these apps and do all this stuff for free. And so if I can do that to my phone, like, yeah, what, you know, it's a smartphone. So why can't they just do that to me? And that's why people are going to line up for this stuff.
Right. Absolutely. So he says aging is plastic, that it's encoded. He said, if something is encoded, you can crack the code. To growing applause, he went on, if you can crack the code, you can hack the code. Mm-hmm. It's a big ask. More than 150,000 people die every day. Mm. Think about that.
Yeah.
Wow. It's a lot of people going to hell, brother.
Right. Yeah.
It's a lot of people dying and going to a devil's hell.
Yeah.
And these people are trying to preach another gospel, Satan's gospel in the garden.
Yeah.
Hey, that's a good sermon. I'll have to preach it sometime. Satan's gospel in the garden. Hey. All right. Anyway, so it's a big ask, right? So there's all these people. Yet Yoon believes, he told me, that if we hack the code correctly, thermodynamically, there should be no reason we can't defer entropy indefinitely. We can end aging forever.
Okay, now
dun dun dun.
Here's the most insane part of that comment that he made. Okay, he references thermodynamics and he references entropy. Now, the two things that prove that we are living in a creation created by God is the second law of thermodynamics and entropy. You know, this second law of thermodynamics says that everything moves from order to disorder. And so, and that's how we know that things are winding down. Creation is winding down, falling apart, like the Bible talks about. And then he references entropy, which is another scientific fact that just proves that everything has been created and that is created. And he's saying that thermodynamically, we can defer entropy. So he recognizes the scientific proofs that proves creation, but in his statement, he's saying that, but we can overcome that. So it's a the total entire statement is an oxymoron.
Right. It sure is. We can end aging forever. Ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, ye shall be as gods.
Yep.
Okay, so what? Think about this now. You know, if you just take this mark, you're going to be a god.
Yeah.
And God doth know that in the day ye take this mark, ye shall be as gods.
Yeah, and we, you know, we had talked about this before about, you know, we know that the Bible says that our body, as born-again believers, our body is a temple of the Holy Ghost.
Yep.
And so when you think about the prophecy and what is prophesied in Revelation and the defiling of the temple,
yep.
And this was the discussions that we would always have. Okay, if the temple, you know, and I'm still not saying that there won't be
a literal temple, yeah,
a literal temple, but you know, there's just so much there about the defilement of the temple, and if our body's a temple, you know, how is that going to be defiled? And this goes right back to Genesis chapter 6.
Mm-hmm.
And you know all the
you mean not those sons of God and daughters of men, right? No, of yeah. course not. That couldn't be real, could it? Turn to Genesis chapter 6 for us, Brother Jim. That couldn't be real, yeah. could it? It couldn't literally. Must be the godly line of Seth, because surely those giants can be explained in some way. You know what fascinates me, brother? All these guys that do these videos about how the sons of God were the godly line of Seth, they never prove where the giants come from.
Nope, never. You know, and you ask them, well, then where did the giants come from? And it kind of sounds like this.
Well, where? So I, what I'm wondering is where. Anyway, we'll keep going. But yeah. I love cute little popular videos that are out there by some people that are doing those things that are talking about the sons of God and daughters of men and how they are the godly line of Seth. And yeah, because I see where Christians or believers of the Old Testament came together with non-believers and like, you know, 12-foot tall people came out of that and 15-foot tall people came out. I mean, I see that happens every day. I mean, I don't know what you're talking about, but
yeah.
You know, six toes, six fingers, you know, whatever, all that stuff happens every day. I mean, ask all the women. I mean, our church, I think there's been like 10 babies born in the last couple of years, and I would have to tell you that I haven't seen one come out yet that was 10 feet tall or that was that would be considered a giant.
That's a good thing.
What's that?
That's a good thing.
Yeah, it is a good thing. The point is that it doesn't happen that way, and it didn't happen that way. They were the offspring of that. And anyway, I've proven that before with the scriptures. Somebody gave me a hassle because the first time I ever did it, I read from the book of Enoch, and I did not use it as scripture. I said it 100,000 times that it wasn't scripture. I was just using it as a historical reference, but I don't use it at all now because I know it's a fake book. It's not real. And I knew it wasn't real then, and I even said it. But the point was, is I was using it as an example of that this has been in literature before. It's been out there before.
Yes, right.
Anyway, so the point is that from the scriptures, you can prove very clearly the sons of God, daughters of men.
Yep.
So it's very easy. Genesis chapter 6.
Genesis chapter 6, verse 1, and it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all they chose. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men, which were of old, men of renown.
Wow. Okay. Well, you know, same thing we see here is they're trying to mess with the DNA, and I believe they're trying to get back to the giants. That's what they want to do. They're creating hybrids. That's what they're doing. The days of Noah. I preached a long time ago on the days of Noah, probably 4 or 5 years ago, but I'm going to do like the days of Noah 2.0. I'm going to come out again with another teaching on it sometime in the future, because there's some more things that I want to cover on that as we've come closer. Yeah. You know, there's just so much been revealed over the last 4 or 5 years that is just absolutely shocking. So this Nicole Shanahan, the founder of the patent management business, announced that her company would oversee longevity-related patents that UNE had pledged to the cause. "I'm here with my darling Sergey," she said, referring to her boyfriend, Sergey Brin, the co-founder of Google. Oh, and he called me yesterday and said, "I'm reading this book, Homo Deus." Did I say that right?
Yeah. Homo Deus.
Oh, boy. And it says on page 28 that I'm going to die. I said, "It says you personally?" He said, "Yes." In the book, the author Yuval Noah Harari discusses Google's anti-aging research and writes that the company probably won't solve death in time to make Google co-founder Larry Page and Sergey Brin immortal. Brin, sitting a few feet away, gave the crowd a bristly, ambitious nod. "Yes, I was singled out for death. No, I'm not actually planning to die."
Wow. Yeah, I'm not planning on dying. And, you know, in light of that, I don't know how many people know that Walt Disney is in cryo right now, you know, because Walt Disney said, oh, you know, our technology is advancing so rapidly. And that was the whole premise of the Epcot Center. The Epcot Center was supposed to be this socialistic, communistic utopia. You know, and that was his vision for Epcot.
You know, we are going to have to do a separate OPBC online on just Walt Disney and the cryogenics. And I think that would be fun to go through there and teach the truth about that and get that truth out there for people so they understand what really Walt Disney was about. I've done a lot on Disney. But let's get into that weirdo sometime and deal with that separately. So we'll deal with that another day. All right, let's see here. So Sergey says he's not planning on dying. "Ye shall be as gods." I just keep hearing that over and over again. It's like an echo. It's the whispers of the wicked one.
Talk about pride. I don't plan on dying. Who plans on it? You know, behold, today is the day of salvation. Now is the hour. No man plans to die. You know, we all want it to be the last thing we do, obviously. But
every man has an appointment.
That's right. Amen.
For it is appointed unto man once to die. And after this, the judgment.
Amen. Yep.
What are they trying to avoid?
The judgment.
Bingo.
Yep.
Okay, so after Moby put in a plug for being vegan, Zhao called on Maritine Rothbaut, the founder of the biotech firm called United Therapeutics, which intends to grow new organs from people's DNA. That just sounds creepy.
They're already doing it on, like, the back of hairless mice and stuff, growing ears and...
That's gross.
Gross, man. It's
gross. Hot dogs and stuff?
Yeah. Oh, it's gross, man.
Genetically modified hot dogs. Sorry, that was my crazy Alex Jones voice for a minute there. We don't want to get into him right now. That's a separate thing altogether.
That's a whole other ball of wax.
All right. Clearly, it is possible through technology to make death optional. Do you see this? Oh, my goodness. Is this ever the height of arrogancy?
Yep.
These people hate God. They are a bunch of God haters.
Yep.
It is possible through technology. This is, you know, Hager did a radio show on this. Called Technological Witchcraft, or he did something. I forget what it was. It was a Watchmen broadcast or something. And Brother Hogger and I don't agree on everything, okay? And he'd tell you the same thing, and but he is a friend. And I believe that he was pretty spot on with that technological witchcraft, because that's what it is.
Yeah.
And this is how it's going to make it work.
That's right. Yeah, and I started putting together some notes on a message called sanitized sorcery, but that's what all of this merging of technology and gaming and Oculus Rift and virtual and avatar. That's what it all is. It's
we're gonna get into that today too.
Yep.
Man, we got to keep moving because this is this is, folks, this is going to be a long show here because these are a lot of notes and we keep stopping, but it is so good to get this out here and explain this. Put the biblical truth on this. It's just amazing. Amen. Okay, so listen to this because it start. Okay, I wish I had the green screen back here so I could do creep alert because here comes the creep alert right here. Okay, this is where it starts to get creepy, okay? This is where you have to do strong spiritual warfare. Anyway, okay, here we go. You ready? Clearly, it is possible through technology to make death optional, Rothblatt said. Read what she says here and read what she does. This is incredible.
She has already commissioned a backup version of her life. Bina or Bina.
Yeah, her wife, Bina. Yeah,
her wife.
A mind clone.
Yep. A mind clone robot named Bina 48. Aging has long lacked the kind of vocal constituency that raised awareness of HIV and breast cancer. As species, we stink at mobilizing against a deferred collective calamity. See climate change. Just the propaganda. The old wax fatalistic, and the young don't really believe they'll grow old. But Rothblatt suggested that the evening marked an inflection point. Turning to Zhao, she declared, "It's enormously gratifying to have the epitome of the establishment, the head of the National Academy of Medicine say, we too choose to make death optional."
As if you can choose life for yourself. No man, the Bible talks about, I don't know where that scripture is. The Bible talks about no man has the power of life in his hand like that. No man can give his own life or no man can prolong his own life. He doesn't have that power to do that.
Yep.
You know, it's not in man to do that, to be able to do that. But these people, ye shall be as gods.
Yep.
We too choose to make death optional. The gathering blazed with the conviction that such events can spark. The belief that those inside the room can determine the fate of all those outside the room. Well, it sounds like an Illuminati meeting is what it sounds like to me.
Yeah. Yeah.
In the back, Andy Conrad picked up a mic to challenge the emphasis on extending maximum lifespan, which is currently around 115. Conrad is the see all these players that are moving and shaking at this meeting? It's just insane.
Hollywood, the head of the National Academy of Medicine.
The Google?
The Google, Norman Lear, all these Hollywood, they're all these elitists. And they're all, you know, and the crazy thing is they have this special secret meeting and then they publish it. It's just like out there.
All I can see is a bunch of guys at the Tower of Babel shaking their fist at God.
Yep. That's
what I see.
What it is.
We shall be as gods. We will live forever. You will not defeat us. That's what I feel like they're doing to God. That's what I feel like. If there was a picture of them, if an artist could paint a portrait, he would paint a portrait just like this.
Yep. That's why Nimrod built the tower, right? To escape the judgment. Oh, well, if God's going to flood the earth, I'll build a tower to heaven. And then if he does it again, I'll just climb to the top of the tower.
That's right.
To escape the judgment.
To avenge my forefathers.
Yep. Yeah.
That's another story altogether. Right. Okay, moving right along here. Oh, here it goes. It's going to get interesting. Conrad is the CEO of Verily, a life sciences firm owned by Google's parent company, here, Alphabet.
Yep, there you go.
Oh, no.
Yeah, so I don't know how many people know this, but I want to say it was 2015. Google formed a parent company, which, you know, who knows why they did this. Google formed a parent company conveniently called Alphabet. Now, whether that Alphabet is CIA, FBI, DHS, or whichever part of the alphabet, or maybe a culmination of all the alphabet. But it's very interesting to know that.
Yep, it sure is. And let's see, like most of the scientists in the room, he aims simply to help people enjoy a few more quality-adjusted life years. He asked, isn't longevity a misnomer? Isn't it living longer well or health span? The biologist nodded with relief. Norman Lear, still vigorous at 94, closed the night by saying, 7 years ago, I wrote a pilot script for a TV show called Guess Who Died, about people at a retirement community. I just learned today that it's on its way to being made. The audience demographics were catching up to him. By 2020, for the first time, there will be more people on Earth over the age of 65 than under the age of 5. You bunch of sickos.
Yeah, you know why? Because we're not
killing babies.
Yeah, we're not having children.
Creep.
Aging population. More retirees than there are people in the workforce.
Yep.
And it's a completely unsustainable model.
And they know that. That's why they've pushed it.
Crush the system. Break the system.
Yep. Lear continued, so what if I wish to offer you? So what I wish to offer you is, we have a stage now to get some of the things you said tonight out to a rational audience. More applause.
What did he just say? He said, see, go to your television and get your programming.
Mm-hmm.
They're telegraphing and they're programming this, and that's why it's going to be accepted. They have this stage.
Well, you know, when I was a kid, I remember RoboCop and all these Demolition Man and RoboCop and all these other things, and it's exactly what they're talking about.
It's exactly to the T.
And that was 25 years ago.
Yeah, and we just never imagined. I mean, as a child, and you have this vivid imagination, or as a young adult, and I mean, I never imagined that any of this was possible.
And well, I remember with RoboCop, one of the things about it that was so weird is that they took this guy that was mutilated. And that's how they're going to do it. That's the PSYOP. They're going to take people that are in dire straits, and they're going to turn them into an artificial android, an AI.
Yeah.
That's what they're going to do to them. Artificial intelligence. They're going to use artificial intelligence, and they're going to recreate them. And those people – and, you know, I remember this RoboCop, he had flashbacks of his family and his wife and his son and his – and. But that was like he couldn't have that life anymore.
Right. He had flashbacks of reality.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's sick, man. Oh, yeah. That always made me feel weird when I saw that. I felt really bad. Like, man, that's sad.
Super creepy. Yeah.
Yeah, like that's not good.
No.
Okay, so let's see.
You know,
so
if you think about that too, where the worm dieth not, you know, and you think about hell and the torture of hell,
right?
It is remembering, you know,
right?
Remembering, you know, when you heard the gospel, or remembering when you were alive and you could make decisions, you know, very powerful. Mm.
It is, and you know, it goes to show you that your conscience is still going to be there.
That's right. That's right.
It's not going anywhere, friend.
Yep.
And they're going to have it. But which message? Death is optional, or death will just have to wait? For decades, the solution to aging is seen merely decades away. In the early 90s, research on C. elegans, a tiny nematode worm that resembles a fleck of lint, showed that a single gene mutation extended its life and that another mutation blocked that extension. The idea that age could be manipulated by twiddling a few control knobs ignited a research boom. And soon, various clinical indignities had increased the worm's lifespan by a factor of 10 and those of lab mice by a factor of 2. The scientific consensus transformed. Age went from being a final stage, a time covered from 1958, growing old usefully, and a social issue, time 1970, growing old in America, the unwanted generation, to something avoidable, 1996, forever young. Or at least vastly deferable, 2015, the baby could live to be 142 years old.
Wow. And they're just telling you, look, they're describing in here through publications how they're telegraphing this stuff and how they're programming us going back to 1958.
Right. Death would no longer be a metaphysical problem, merely a technical one.
Okay, let me ask you a question. Is death a metaphysical problem? Death is not metaphysical. Death is very real and very final. You know, Eastern mysticism and metaphysics and all this stuff, you know, that's if I meditate, you know, am I really here and all this stuff. Death is very real. Death is not metaphysical or figurative. It is very literal.
That's right. That's right. It is. So the celebration was premature. Gordon Lithgow, a leading C. elegans researcher. So they figured out that it didn't work. I'm not going to get into all that probably. They basically figured out that it didn't work. Okay. Exactly. They tried to, you know, they looked at Greenland sharks that live 500 years and don't get cancer. And even the humble quahog clam, the kind used for chowder, which holds the record at 507 years. Okay, so they've tried to figure that out. They figured out one problem they had was they suspected that half of the 20,000 genes in the worm's genome are somehow involved. So it wasn't just one gene. It was like thousands of them.
Right, and I mean, we're just so much like a nematode worm. I mean, obviously, if they could do it with a worm, they could obviously do it with a human. I mean, clearly.
For us, aging is the creepy and then catastrophic dysfunction of everything. All at once. Our mitochondria sputter, our endocrine system sags, our DNA snaps. Our sight and hearing and strength diminish, our arteries clog, our brains fog, and we falter, seize, and fail. Every research breakthrough, every announcement of a master key that we can turn to reverse all that has been followed by setbacks and confusion. A few years ago, there was great excitement about telomeres, Liz Blackburn's specialty DNA buffers that protect the ends of chromosomes, such as plastic tips protect the ends of shoelaces. As we age, our telomeres become shorter, and when these shields go, cells stop dividing. As Blackburn said, it puts cells into a terribly alarmed state. If we could extend the telomeres, the thinking went, we might reverse age. But it turns out that animals with long telomeres, such as lab mice, don't necessarily have long lives, and that telomeres, the enzyme that promotes telomere growth, is also activated in the vast majority of cancer cells. The more we know about the body, the more we realize how little we know.
Amen. There you go.
That is true, because you think you're gods and you're not.
Right, and that's what microbiology has done. The reason they have to keep pushing the Big Bang more and more billions and billions and hundreds of billions of years back, the whole reason they keep expanding that number is because the smaller they go and the more they drill down on a molecular level, things keep becoming exponentially more sophisticated. And the only way that they can explain it is, well, it just took an extra, you know, we thought it was 6 billion years, and then we thought it was 200 billion years, but maybe it was 1,000 billion years. You know, it's just going to take a lot longer for this sophisticated molecular structure to evolve. So that right. is the whole reason they keep pushing that out.
Absolutely. Still, researchers plunge ahead and understand it's a precondition for successful intervention. They point out we had no real grasp of virology or immunology when we began vaccinating people against smallpox. In the murk of scientific inquiry, every researcher looks to a ruling metaphor for guidance. Aubrey de Grey likes to compare the body to a car. A mechanic can fix an engine without necessarily understanding the physics of combustion. So they go on and they explain they're going to give you a tune-up. And they want a Silicon Valley wants to Sense Research Foundation, which stands for Strategies for Engineered Negligible Senescence, a fancy way of saying planning your comprehensive tune-up.
Yeah.
An Englishman who began his career with a decade of work in AI. He speaks with rapid fluidity often while stroking his Rasputin-length beard. Hey. De Grey has proposed that if we fix 7 types of physical damage, we will be on the path to living to more than 1,000 years, assuming we can avoid getting hit by a bus or an asteroid.
Exactly. Exactly. How are you going to prevent a death by accident?
I think it's interesting. 7 things.
Wow. Yeah, that's very interesting. Yep.
When I met him at Sense, S-E-N-S, office in Mount View, he told me, gerontologist? What in the world is that?
That's I think that's old people that study old people.
Oh, geriatrics, like
gerontologist.
Okay, and led massively astray by looking for a root cause to aging when it's actually that everything falls apart at the same time because all our systems are interrelated. So we have to divide and conquer. We just need to restore tissue suppleness, replace cells that have stopped dividing and removing those that have grown toxic, avert the consequences of DNA mutation, and mop up the gunky byproducts of all the above. If we can disarm these killers, DeGray suggests, we should gain 30 years of healthy life, and during that period, we'll make enough further advances that we'll begin growing biologically younger, we'll achieve longevity and escape velocity.
Escape velocity. You know, they keep mentioning these determining, you know, these scientific parameters, you know, the foundations that God has placed in his creation. There are certain foundations, just like the Ten Commandments, just like the law of God, there are scientific laws that God has placed, that he has set in place. And these guys keep talking about, well, we're just going to cast these bands off, right? What's that, the conspiracy in Psalms, right?
Mm-hmm.
Where's that at?
That's, I think it's Psalms 2, is it?
Psalms 2. And why, Psalms 2, verse 1, why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder,
yep,
and cast away their cords from us, right? But what's going to happen? He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh.
Yep.
The Lord shall have them in derision.
Amen. That's exactly what God is going to do. He's going to laugh at them just like he did at Babel when he destroyed them, when he came down and he destroyed the Tower of Babel, just like, yep, he did when the sons of God came in under the daughters of men,
right,
and perverted the DNA, and they perverted it and they created giants, men of old, men of renown, or whatever. They were destroyed.
That's right.
And they're going to be destroyed again.
Amen.
When they do this.
That's right.
Go ahead and keep reading there. DeGray, okay, right there. Where, yep, he's, yep.
DeGray vexes, that's interesting. DeGray vexes many in the life extension community. And one reason may be his intemperate lifestyle. He told me, I can drink as much as I like and it has no effect. I don't even need to exercise. I'm so well optimized. Pride, dude. Until recently, he maintained two girlfriends and a wife. Now, he said, yeah, you wonder why this guy, see, total degenerate.
Rebellion against God. Total rebellion against God.
Total rebellion in every aspect of his life.
Yep.
Now, he said, I'm engaged and my polyamorous days are behind me.
I did a sermon on polymori.
Yep.
This new sick movement out there. It's wicked. Mm.
But the main reason in his prophetic air of certainty. Okay. I didn't. Yeah.
Yeah,
okay.
That's right. You got it.
Yep. But the main reason is. Oh, okay. But the main reason is his prophetic air of certainty. His 2007 book, Ending Aging, is replete with both exacting research into the obstacles to living longer and proposed solutions so ambitious that they resemble science fiction.
Well, I can tell you that all of this stuff resembles science fiction because the movies that I watched 25 years ago were teaching these things.
Right, and that's partially due to programming. I mean, they have to program you in advance so that you will accept it when it happens. You know, part of it is programming, and part of it is people predicting. Part of it is revelation from familiars. I mean, yep, we know where most of, in my opinion, most technology comes from devils. I mean, yep, And I believe that that's just a fact. So when you have these, when you got guys like Isaac Asimov, I want to say that I know that Isaac Asimov was involved in the occult and all this stuff, and he predicted certain things like to the T. And, you know, how did he have these advanced revelations? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And I believe a lot of that stuff just comes from devils.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And these guys, their wicked lifestyle proves that with their fornication and their witchcraft and everything they're involved with, their transcendent meditation and all the other stuff, these people. I mean, Steve Jobs,
yeah,
that guy was into Buddhism. He was into all kinds of stuff. He was a wicked man.
Yeah. What happened to him?
Yeah, he died.
That's right.
I died.
Just like this guy. I mean, this is what's hilarious. I can drink as much as I want. I can fornicate as much as I want. I can defile myself as much as I want. There are no consequences because all I got to do is figure out how to crack the code. I can do whatever I want. I mean, what? This guy's supposed to be intelligent, okay? And he is saying, we all know, how do you live longer? Eat better. I mean, we don't need to take a $20 million survey to figure out.
You know what? The healthiest guy, one of the healthiest guys in the ministry ever, Lester Roloff, died in a plane crash.
That's right. That's exactly right.
That guy brought juice to his meetings. He juiced everywhere he went. He brought coolers of it. He was one of the healthiest guys you ever meet in your life.
That's exactly right.
If it's your time to go, you're going.
That's it. That's right.
You have an appointment, friend, whether you like it or not. It's appointed Amen. A man wants to die, and after this, the judgment. You ain't going to defy God. I can tell you that right now.
Amen. No, you're not. And he will not be mocked.
Nope.
Okay, right. So DeGray's fix for mitochondrial mutation, for instance, is to smuggle backup copies of DNA from your mitochondria into the vaults of the nucleus. Which evolution annoyingly failed to do, probably because the proteins needed in the mitochondria would ball up during their journey through the watery cell body. His fix for that, moving the DNA one way and the proteins that it produces another, amounts to a kind of subcellular hokey pokey.
You turn yourself around and that's what it's all about?
A number of scientists praised DeGray for anatomizing the primary threats, yet they see troubleshooting all seven pathways through such schemes, and you have to troubleshoot them all for his plan to work as a foredoomed labor.
Yep.
Matt Caberline, I love the words in it.
We're not scientists, by the way.
A biogerontologist at the University of Washington said, it's like saying all we have to do is to travel to another solar system. All we have to do to travel to another solar system is these seven things. First, accelerate your rocket to 3/4 of the speed of light. Exactly. We can't even come close to traveling at the speed of light.
Dingbats.
The great majority of longevity scientists are health spanners, not immortalists.
So here's where we see a break in the movement there.
Yep.
Some of these people they want the longevity scientists. They just want to extend life for 30 or 40 years for people. They see death as inevitable, but they would like to, you know, extend your health if they could and give you a healthy life. Okay.
Right. And wait till you see what that entails.
Well, wait till you see what they want to do. Right.
Exactly. So let's see here. Okay. They want to give us a healthier life followed by compressed morbidity, a quick and painless death.
Nice.
Wow.
See, they want to be God. They want to be able to control life. They want to be able to control when you die, how you die, and everything else. And, you know, I remember seeing things like when I was a child, Quantum Leap. You know, when I was younger. Remember Quantum Leap?
Yeah, yeah.
And he would leap into all these other things. He would, you know, all these other people's bodies, and he would try to prevent the death from taking place.
And there was so much programming in that movie. One time he leapt into a woman. You get the whole androgyny thing.
Yeah, and she was getting ready to have a baby, and then he morphed. He morphed out. He leaped out.
Yep. Crazy. And it's all predictive.
Good call, by the way, to leap out before the baby.
Yeah.
And he leaped into the Lee Harvey Oswald.
Yeah. Yep.
That was a weird one. So the but the point is that you see he's doing this, and they're trying to stop death. That the whole goal was to stop death. Why is that? Because if we 1 Corinthians chapter 15 tells us that if we only have hope in this life, we are men of most sorrow, most sorrowful men.
Yeah.
Right? And the reason for that, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Paul talks about that. He says, if all we have is this life, man, we are men most sorrowful. And that's why that guy's drinking and having three women and doing everything again. Yeah. Vanity, vanity, all is vanity, saith the preacher. All is vanity. There was a man, Solomon, and what did he have? He had so many wives, 700 wives, 300 concubine, had all the riches, all the best food, all the best water, all the best drinks, all the best servants, all the best animals, all the best everything. What did he say? Vanity, vanity. He said, I saw and looked at the works of men, and basically, in a nutshell, what he say? I thought it stunk because I have all this fortune and I have to give it to somebody else because I'm going to die.
That's right. That's what he said.
But he had everything.
Yep, he had it all.
And he wasn't happy.
That's right.
And neither are these people happy.
Yeah. Nope. That's what you need the drugs for.
Yep.
Why you need the happy pill.
Yep.
Yep.
So in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, he talks about that, though. He talks about, that's funny, we had this awkward silence for like, like 10 seconds. I'm like, whoa. Anyway, it's funny. But what's that? Yeah, if you have it there, if you have that verse there, that'd be fine.
Yeah, I'm just looking for where to start here.
He's talking about the resurrection. Paul is in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. He's talking about the resurrection. He's saying if we have only hope, if Christ didn't resurrect from the dead, then we are of men most sorrowful. That's what he talked about, right?
Now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then our preaching in vain is vain. Then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he has raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead raise not. For if the dead rise not, then is Christ not raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is in vain, and ye are yet in your sins.
And see, here's the thing I want you to think about, okay, with this. That here are all these men, right? And they are preaching that there's no resurrection. And these people right now are living a life as if there is no resurrection, because for them, they have nothing to look they have nothing to look forward to.
Yep. And it's interesting, as you keep going down here, 1 Corinthians 15:24, this is speaking exactly directly to what we're talking about. Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. For he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet.
Amen.
The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death.
Death.
What are these guys trying to do? They're trying to destroy death. Well, who has the power and the victory over the grave?
Right. And, you know, they want to put on, we can tell you, and at the end, we'll read this and we can show you how to take on it if you want immortality.
Amen.
Because Christ is the only one that offers immortality.
That is right. Amen.
Okay. Because this mortal will put on immortality one day.
That's right. Amen.
Praise. That's what 1 Corinthians 15 is talking about. That's the whole premise of it.
Yep. That's right.
You know, because we will one day put on immortality.
Amen.
But not through the way, not the gospel of the garden that Satan preached.
That's right.
But I'll save that for another message because that'll be good. But anyway, so back to this, what we're talking about here, and these Google gods and their desire to live forever. You see, they don't want to live forever in Christ. They want to live forever in their own flesh.
Yep.
Okay.
Their own parameters.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, so these, which one are we on here? Are we on health spanners here? Let's see.
Yeah, we're on health spanners.
Yep. Right. They want to give a healthier life and compress morbidity, a quick and painless death. These scientists focus on the timeline. Since 1900, the human lifespan has increased by 30 years. And so as a consequence, have cancer, heart disease, stroke, diabetes, and dementia. Well, a lot of that is due to the diet and the junk they're feeding you because exactly. They're poisoning you. People don't get dementia naturally, okay, by just aging.
Well, and it's interesting because at the beginning of this article, it's talking about glutathione, right? And the problem they were bumping into with glutathione is that if you took synthetic glutathione, it would start jacking up other stuff. But we know that stuff like turmeric and curcumin, which are spices, you know, so if you're ingesting curcumin and turmeric, organic, you know, organically grown herbs, that these things not only promote, but they create glutathione, and you can get it naturally, and you're not going to have all these crazy adverse effects and reactions to it.
Yep. Of course, and they know this, and they're poisoning people is what they're doing.
That's right.
That's what they're doing, and that's why it's having. Aging is the leading precondition for so many diseases that aging and disease are essential metonyms. Accidents and violence are the leading cause of death up to the age 44.
Fix that.
Yep. You ain't going to fix that. Then cancer rises to the top, and then at 65, heart disease. Health spanners want to understand the etiologies of cancer and heart disease and then block them. Why do we almost never get those diseases at age 2? How can we extend that protection to 102? But if we cured cancer, we would add only 3.3 years to an average life. Solving heart disease gets us an extra 4. If we eliminated all diseases, the average lifespan might extend into the 90s. To live longer, we have to slow aging itself.
It's so... That statement, you can read so many statements in this. Okay, what is all this Susan G. Komen and, you know, the whole pink thing and whatever month that's in, I think February or whatever, and cancer awareness and cancer, and they raise all this money to fight cancer and all this stuff. And it's saying, they say right here, but if we cured cancer, we would add only 3.3 years to an average life.
That's why they want to merge you with AI. That's why they want artificial intelligence.
Basically, they just said it's not even worth it to cure cancer because you're only going to get 3 years. That's what you're getting out of it. If we, you know, and I realize that's on the average. So, but
probably means they already know how to do it anyway.
Right. Yeah. Right. Exactly.
Okay, so even if we do that, the health spanners believe we're not going to live forever, nor should we. They worry about the rapid drain on natural resources and on Social Security. What a bunch of dum-dums. The potential for a Stalin or a Mugabe to stay in power for centuries, the loss of new ideas from the young, and profound lifelong boredom. Dude, who's bored? Who has time to be bored?
I don't have time to be bored.
Amy Wagers, a researcher at Harvard, told me, part of the meaning of life is that we die. The Greeks warned about the danger of grasping for godlike powers. It didn't work out well for Asclepius or Achilles, and it worked out even worse for Tithonus, whose lover, Eos, begged Zeus to grant him eternal life but forgot to request eternal youth as well. Decrepit, senile, and miserable, Tithonus eventually shrank into a cicada who stridulated ceaselessly, calling out for release.
Wow.
Thanks for the Greek analogy there.
Yeah.
When I met Ned David, I thought that he was about 30. He had an unlined face and thick auburn hair. He walked rapidly with his hands stuffed into his jean pockets, and he wore red Converse high tops. David is 49. He is a biochemist and a co-founder of the Silicon Valley startup company called Unity Biotechnology. Unity targets senescent cells that, as they age, start producing a colorless, odorless, noxious goo called SASP, which Unity's researchers call the zombie toxin, because it makes other cells senescent and spread chronic inflammation throughout the body. In mice, Unity's treatments delay cancer, prevent cardiac hypertrophy, and hypertrophy, and increase median lifespan by 35%. We think our drugs vaporize a third of human diseases in the developed world, David told me. Wow, so this guy looks younger. He looks like he's about 15, 20 years younger because he's taking this stuff. He's taking these drugs. David isn't taking any of Unity's drugs. Yeah, right. Which won't be on the market for at least 7 years. His youthfulness derives from existing therapies. He takes metformin, a diabetes drug that has made elderly diabetics live longer than healthy controlled group.
Metformin is terrible. The side effects of metformin is terrible.
Yep. And then healthy care, and then Retin-A for his skin. He also swims a lot, having quit running because of spinal osteoarthritis. I'm often accused here of picking the things we work on based on the problems of aging I have, David said, but because of our drugs, I predict that I will run again. A system approach to aging, which would easily result in your general practitioner prescribing you a God pill.
Mm. Yep.
Yeah, as much as pharmaceutical companies charge, I wonder how much that God pill would be.
Yeah, not only that, I mean, here's the, they're telling you this guy is the epitome of youth and everything, and this guy can't even.
He can't even run.
Can't even run.
It's not working out for him.
Nope.
Prescribing you a God pill is philosophically attractive, but financially infeasible, see? Pharma and biotech companies make money only if they treat a disease, but because aging affects everything, the FDA doesn't recognize it as an indication susceptible to treatment or to insurance company reimbursements.
So the guy just admitted that
they want to kill you.
What healthcare is disease management, has nothing to do with healthcare.
Right.
But he's taking these same drugs.
Yep.
How did that work?
So Unity is taking aim at glaucoma, macular degeneration, and arthritis. The fridge in its lab is stocked with human eyeballs.
Awesome. Sounds like Mengele and Hitler in Nazi Germany. Nice. Yeah.
And knee cartilage. This is customary serial specialist approach to aging, which tackles its symptom by symptom. Let's restore those eyes, then send you down the street for a 3D printed kidney.
Yeah.
Last fall, Unity raised $116 million from such investors as Don Jeff Bezos.
Yep. Amazon.
Who's that guy?
Amazon.
And Peter Thiel or Thiel.
Yep.
He's the queer that runs PayPal, right?
Yes. Yes. Yeah.
He's the homosexual that got up at the Republican National Convention and everybody cheered him. And Trump got out there and said, "You don't know how proud I am of all of you that at a Republican National Convention you just cheered for that queer." He didn't say it like that, but that's
what he meant.
That's what he meant. He did say something like that though.
Yeah.
Anyway, And by the way, that's the cue for LGBTQ. So don't get mad at me.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep, that's right.
It's the cue.
Well, and the whole androgynous agenda plays right into this meat puppet / RoboCop, because, I mean, well, if you don't know what you are and you're a robot, well, that's just another thing that you are. You were born that way, or you weren't born. Hey, I was always meant to be in a robot.
It's kind of weird.
Yeah.
Billionaires eager to stretch our lives, or at least their own, to a span that Thiel has pinpointed as forever. In a field rife with charlatans, Ned David's Dorian Gray effect has factored into his fundraising. One class of investors, like Fidelity, finds my youthful appearance alarming, he said. Another class, the Silicon Valley type of Peter Thiel, finds anyone who looks over 40 alarming. Wow. Good old Peter Thiel there, right? However you say his name. That guy right there, and Drudge is advertising him, you know, on the Drudge Report. Yeah. And bunch of sick people, huh?
Yeah.
So they do these treatments to delay cancer on mice and all these other things. Traditionally, it's been the graying tycoons of technology who funded aging research, hoping to disrupt the 3-act structure of the Silicon Valley journey. Life hacker, rock climber, cadaver. Trying to beat death.
Yeah, and that's what their life consists of. I mean, that's the way you view your life.
Yeah, it is the way they view their life.
Yeah, it's incredible.
It's empty. They have no joy.
Right. Nope. And billions. And they have billions. And not only do they have billions, they pull all the strings. And they can get whatever they want and do whatever they want. And they still don't have anything.
Nope. Nope. Yeah. He says, Aram Sabata, the 30-year-old founder of a tech company called Zero Cater, told me, the proposition that we can live forever is obvious. It doesn't violate the laws of physics, so we will achieve it. Sabata spends his leisure time reading all-cause mortality meta-studies and is an investor in the Longevity Fund, a venture fund recently launched by Laura Deming. Deming, who is 22, terms the longevity market a $200 billion plus opportunity. But she told me that it's really impossible to say how big it could be, because if you cured aging, you'd change medicine entirely. Mm. They're admitting it.
Well, not only are they admitting it, I mean, let's be honest. If they could really do it, how would they benefit from it? From a standpoint of, if there was some kind of pill, right, they would clearly and obviously poison the pill. You know, if they could really modify the genetics, right, then they could encode this medication with a kill date in it. And so then, like, oh yeah, well, here's this pill, you know, and now you're 300 years old, and you know, we just found out there's this drop dead date in this pill. So now you're going to have to take this new pill.
Well, what they would do is they would make sure that it would only extend your life in like intervals of like 20 years.
Exactly. So that you have to keep buying. Yep. They're not going to, we've clearly seen that the medical community is not going to invent their way out of business.
No.
Yeah. And they've admitted it in this article that healthcare is not healthcare. It's disease management.
Yep.
Yep.
Yep. Well, read what Google's point in all this and their plan here.
Yep. Okay. Unsurprisingly, it was Google that transformed the Valley's view of aging. Surprisingly, perhaps, it was the company's Bill Maris who was in the vanguard. As the founder and CEO of Google Ventures, Maris led successful investments in companies such as Nest and Uber.
Mm.
He was amiable, admired, and financially secure. Yeah, that's an understatement. Not the obvious modern day alchemist.
Oh man!
Wow. Lead to gold, huh? However, he told me, my thoughts can turn to dark things when I'm alone.
What does that even mean?
It means that he's got a devil in him.
Yeah, he does, like a whole gang of them.
Yeah. His father, we're going to see a reoccurring theme, just like with Google's...
Ray Kurzweil,
okay. So this guy's, his father died of a brain tumor in 2001 when Maris was 26. I majored in neuroscience. I've worked in hospitals, but until my father died, I did not understand the finality of gone, never to be seen again, he said.
They don't believe in the afterlife.
Nope. Maris, who is 42, yeah, with all of his look. He was in the field of medicine. So what does the field of medicine teach? Evolution. Yep. And when you're gone, you're gone.
Yep.
Maris, who is 42, is a longtime vegetarian who works out on an elliptical machine for an hour every day.
Hey, I do that. Hey. I'm not a vegetarian.
He comforts himself with the knowledge that the scientist who performed a 3D scan of his brain praised his robust corpus, the bundle of nerve fibers that connects the hemispheres. Maris displays gleaming polymer models of his and his wife's brain under glass bells in his office.
That's awesome. That's what I want to do.
Look at my brain.
Look at my wife's brain. And look at my big brain. I'm going to stick this on. You can see this glass. Look at this. This is my glass bells and my big old brain here. You like my brain, boy? Look at my brains.
I take great pride in my brain.
Them's my brains up there, boy. You see them brains?
Dude,
and that over there, there's my wife's brains up there. You see that, boy?
Bet you your brains don't look like those brains right there.
I bet you ain't got no good-looking brains like that, do you?
Oh, man. But such precautions and advantages were temporary, personal stopgaps. How could he fix the problem permanently and for everyone? He decided to build a company that would solve death.
Look at my brain.
Oh, here we go. He discussed the idea with Ray Kurzweil.
I'm sorry. Okay, hang on a second. I'm sorry. These people are just like the biggest, creepiest creepazoids you could ever find. The guy's got his brains in a picture of his brains up there. All right, go ahead. I'm sorry. In comes another character here.
Hey,
Ray Kurzweil.
Okay, you don't think that somebody that's that nuts got some kind of beautiful picture of his brain when the technology's there that he will literally take his brain out of his head, put it in a glass ball, and have people looking at it and like studying it and experimenting it? I mean, that is not any kind of far-fetched idea here, but okay.
No. So, in comes Ray Kurzweil.
The futurist who popularized the concept of the singularity.
Mm.
The idea that humans will merge with AI, artificial intelligence, and transcend our biological limitations.
And what is that, Jim? When we say I will ascend, right?
That's right.
And I will be like the Most High, right? So what is it? It's evolution. It's teaching evolution.
Right.
It's teaching, hey, we're gonna make you better, but we got to use this technology. You were made wrong. Yep. See, it's the gospel of the garden. You were made wrong.
Yep.
And Satan's saying, ye shall be as gods, and I'm going to help you.
Yep, and we're not gonna ascend. We're gonna transcend,
mm-hmm.
transsexual, transhumanism,
Transformers,
the RoboCops and the meat puppets,
more than meets the eye.
Yep, that's right. Okay, And Kurzweil was enthusiastic. Maris also discussed it, and with Andy Conrad, the geneticist who runs Alphabet Verily.
Mm-hmm.
Verily saith
he. Yeah, okay. Google's Verily saith he.
I'm sorry, I shouldn't have done that. Oh boy. Okay. And Conrad was thoughtfully discouraging. The first problem was the long study time in humans. It's hard to run, you know, it's hard to run a clinical trial on subjects who take 80 years to die.
I mean, come on, it stinks, bro. I mean, it's taking you 80 years to die and stuff, so I can't really like, so let me just speed up that process, right? So I can.
There you go. I mean, we've never done anything like that. We've never given unknowing people LSD. We've never given Tuskegee Airmen syphilis or anything. Like the government and these benevolent scientists and these benevolent billionaires that have Bill and Melinda Gates Foundations and the Clinton Foundation that do all this philanthropic good throughout the world, they would never do anything evil like that. I mean,
of course not.
They give back. This is how they get back.
Yeah.
Okay. So, yeah, you know, you stink in humans, you take too long to die. I mean, how?
So, we're going to help you figure that out.
Okay. A related issue is that we have no accepted model for how to measure biological age, which often differs significantly from chronological age. 70 probably isn't the new 50 for, say, Ozzy Osbourne, because, you know, I clearly care about Ozzy Osbourne, another God hater.
Yep.
The second problem was the immense difficulty of determining whether any seeming cause of aging was actually causal or merely a correlative of some other stealthier process.
Wow. Yeah, he goes on to say, Andy did throw a lot of cold water on the idea, Maris said, but there were no issues of fact. He didn't say aging isn't a genetic disease, or Google will never fund this. In 2011, Maris pitched his proposed company to John Doerr, a prominent venture capitalist who was on Alphabet's board. Imagine you found a lamp on the beach, and a genie came out and granted you a wish, Maris said. If you were clever, your first wish would be for unlimited wishes. As Doerr nodded, Maris continued, let's say you're going to live, at most, another 30 years. Doerr had just turned 60. If each day is a wish, that's only between 1 and 10,000 wishes. I don't know about you, but I want to add more. I want to add wishes faster than they're taken away. Greedy. Doerr, confronted with the limits of his lifespan, was galvanized. When Maris pitched Google founder Sergey Brin, who was a gene variant that predisposes him to Parkinson's disease, love the idea. And Larry Page declared, we should do it here.
Yeah.
And here's that company. In 2013, Google launched Calico, short for the California Life Company, with $1 billion in funding. I mean, just throw around $1 billion. Here we go. Hey.
Who cares?
Calico added a tremendous amount of validation to aging research. George Vlasic, the head of biotech startup called Navator, told me, they have money, brain power, and time. But Calico has proved to be extremely secretive. All that's known is that it's tracking 1,000 mice from birth to death to try to determine biomarkers of aging, biochemical substances whose levels predict morbidity, that it has a colony of naked mole rats which live for 30 years and are amazingly ugly, and that it is invested in drugs that may prove helpful with diabetes and Alzheimer's. The company declined to comment. Why is that? Why don't they want to comment on what they're working on?
Well, because they do lots of crazy, shady stuff.
Yeah, they do. They're a bunch of wicked devils. That's what they are.
Where are the PETA people? Right? They got all these blind, naked mole rats. Like, where's the outcry from PETA and all the crazy Californians? Where are the protests? How come there is no protest outside the secret lab here?
Wow. A number of longevity scientists confessed to disappointment with Calico's direction. Neurobarzilia, geneticist, thank you, who is a leader of the aging field, told me, the truth is, we don't know what they're doing, but whatever, it doesn't really seem to be attacking the problem. Another scientist who's familiar with Calico's working said that it's pursuing its mission judiciously, but that the company began fatally as a vanity project. That's for sure.
Yeah, really.
The scientist said this is as self-serving as the Medici building, a Renaissance chapel in Italy, but with a little extra Silicon Valley narcissism thrown in. It's based on the frustration of many successful rich people that life is too short. We have all this money, but we only get to live a normal lifespan. That's the same thing that Solomon said in the beginning of Ecclesiastes, didn't he?
That's right. It's exactly what he said.
Vanity, vanity, all is vanity, saith the preacher, right?
Yeah, he said, hey, I accumulated all this wealth, and I'm going to have to give it to somebody I don't even know. Somebody
said, who knows whether that man will take care of it or not? Who knows?
Yep.
Maris, who has retired from Google Ventures, strongly disagreed with that view. This is not about Silicon Valley's billionaires living forever off the blood of young people.
The blood of young people. Interesting comment. That's interesting.
Weirdos. Where'd that come from? We're going to find out here in a second. He said, it's about a Star Trek future where no one dies of preventable diseases, where life is fair.
Life is fair. Oh, I'm the billionaire, though, and I'm going to talk about life being fair.
Yeah. If Silicon Valley billionaires end up being sustained by young blood, they will satisfy an ancient yearning. In 1615, a German doctor suggested that the hot and spirituous blood of a young man will pour into the old one as if it were from a fountain of youth. Okay, that's sick. Because Aleister Crowley said to get his witchcraft and his magic, you had to shed the blood of an innocent young man.
Yeah. It's Satanism.
Bunch of wicked devils. In 1924, the physician and Bolshevik Alexander Borgonov began young blood transfusions, and a fellow revolutionary wrote that he seems to have become 10 years younger. Then Bogdanov injected himself with blood from a student who had both malaria and tuberculosis and died. Serves you right, you wicked devil.
Man. God,
remember, God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that so shall he also reap.
Yep, that's right.
Parabiosis, the surgical linkage of circulatory systems, has had a most grisly history in humans when it is tried as a desperate measure on terminal cancer patients in 1951. A 2-year-old boy lost part of his foot to gangrene and in rodents, which resisted being conjoined. In a 1956 study warned, if two rats are not adjusted to each other, one will chew the head off the other until it is destroyed. We kept trying in 2005, a Stanford lab run by a stem cell biologist and neurologist named Tom Rondo announced that heterochronic parabiosis, or an exchange of blood between older and younger mice, rejuvenated the livers and muscles of the older ones. Vampires everywhere felt validated.
They keep interjecting this in here.
What's the deal with the blood? So there are a lot of people that take blood transfusions from younger people. Now, I firmly believe that's how Magic Johnson doesn't have HIV anymore.
It is definitely, it's not some chemical cocktail.
No.
And as a matter of fact, you know, there is this treatment and IFGI, but what it's comprised of is hemoglobin. Well, there's one that's hemoglobin, and then there's one that's plasma.
Right.
And basically, what they do is they just they give you a blood transfusion with plasma, you know, the clear stuff, and it's $40,000 a bag.
Well, I firmly believe that he took that.
Yeah.
Because there's no way he'd still be living the way he is and everything else.
Yeah. And he has a ton of money. Yeah, he can just do whatever, you know. He has just basically unlimited funds at his disposal.
The Late Show, Stephen Colbert warned teenagers that President Trump would replace Obamacare with mandatory parabiosis. He's going to stick a straw in you like a Capri Sun. It's kind of weird these guys are putting that out there, isn't it?
Yeah. Especially when you look at Obamacare and death panels, and basically the whole premise was, well, when you become a useless eater, we compress your morbidity and we terminate you.
Mm-hmm.
In a peaceful manner.
Yep. Entrepreneurs and venture capitalists also had their straws poised. And this is sick the way he keeps talking like this, isn't it?
Yeah.
Rando said, I've had a lot of meetings with young billionaires in Silicon Valley, and they all, to varying degrees, want to know when the secrets are coming out, both so they can get in on the next big thing and so they can personally take advantage of them. I say this is not an app. If you come to biology from a tech point of view, you're going to be disappointed because the pace is much slower. In recent years, the parabiosis field has grown quarrelsome. Is the rejuvenated key the presence of young blood proteins or the absence of something like SASP? Could it be a cellular byproduct from one mouse or the effect of borrowing a younger mouse's liver? In 2014, the Harvard scientist Amy Wagers concluded that young blood factors, particularly a protein called GDF11, gave older mice a stronger grip and renewed their brains.
Yep, human batteries.
Yep. Most of her colleagues questioned her results, and the drug company Novartis promptly did a study that suggested the exact opposite. You should blockade GDF-11, Wagers told me. Different groups have reported that amounts of GDF-11 go up, go down, or stay the same with age. With a bleak laugh, she added, clearly one group is right. I'll let you pick it up here, brother.
Yeah.
These people are crazy.
Yeah, too bad we don't know which group's right. Because when you go blocking genes or enhancing genes, first off, when you do this stuff, what kind of Island of Dr. Moreau hybrid concoctions do you come up with? Secondly, when do these genetic mutations cease to be human? Okay, and now we're getting back into the whole sons of God, daughters of men.
Well, we get into that fourth kingdom, and I've heard Mike Hoggard say he believes that once they take that mark, and I agreed with him in a conversation I had with him, that once they take that mark, once they do that and their DNA is manipulated like that, they're no longer
human.
They're no longer human, and they've taken the mark, and they're done.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's what the Bible says. I mean, that's what the Bible says is going to happen. After Rando's colleague, Tony Wiscorey, showed that young blood can foster new neurons in the hippocampus region of the brains of old mice, a company called Alkahest spun out from his work. Alkahest has begun to sift the more than 10,000 proteins in plasma in hopes that the right protein cocktail can cure Alzheimer's, the process that is expected to continue for more than a quarter century.
So these people are taking these, they want the blood of the youth. And we've heard a lot of stories about people like Al Gore and that they drink blood, that they, you know, the Queen of England and all these people, that's how they stay and they keep their age and they live for a long time.
Yeah.
You know, we've heard a lot of that stuff, and I don't know how much of that stuff is true, but you know, when you hear see articles like this, I believe it.
Yeah.
They're at least taking transfusions from youth. It makes you wonder where all these little children are going and all these other people, when you see them kidnapped and they're gone and all this other stuff, what they're doing to them.
That's right.
You know.
When I visited Alkahest recently, Joe McCracken, the vice president of business development, queued up side-by-side videos of genetically identical, equally aged mice. They were about to run a Barnes maze, a disc dotted with black circles, one of which was a hole. A laboratory version of a burrow in which to escape a diving hawk. During previous runs, they'd been trained to remember the hole's location. McCracken, who was with two colleagues, explained that the first mouse had been treated only with a placebo of inert saline. We watched It nosed here and there uncertainly before finally stumbling upon the hole. It took a minute and 20 seconds. The men clapped, releasing their anxiety. "It's me in the parking lot looking for my car," Sam Jackson, the company's chief medical officer, said. Then McCracken played the video of a mouse that had been turned, a mouse that had been tuned up with plasma from 18-year-old human beings. So what 18-year-old human being is volunteering his plasma to get injected into a rat?
Mm-hmm.
Now, at least an 18-year-old might have went to a blood bank and they would have paid him for his plasma. So at least it wasn't a 7-year-old. Well, at least they're saying that's an 18-year-old anyway. But
right.
That mouse, and that's real convenient too. It just so happens to be an 18-year-old. But anyway, that mouse darted purposefully toward one sector of the maze, found the hole, and scooted into it in 18 seconds. The execs grinned and shook their heads. Youth.
See, so they're telling you that they want the fountain of youth. That's what they want, and they're willing to take human life to get it. They're willing to take the young. They're willing to take their blood. They're willing to take whatever they can from them to take their life away from them. This genetic mutation, everything. I'm sorry. I know it's bad, but it reminds me when I was back in the 90s, the early 90s, when I was a kid, The Fly.
Yeah.
Did you ever see The Fly when that man, Jeff Goldblum or whatever? Goldblum. Yep. They put him in this weird machine and it merged him with a fly and it morphed him into a hybrid. Yeah. He eventually turned into a fly.
Yep. And there's two things to point out. That's one of them. You go monkeying around with genes and you're mixing human plasma with a stinking rat.
Yep.
And what's that going to produce? And then we have this ethical question of, well, now we have to destroy this rat or whatever.
Right.
We don't know what its offspring will be. And then the biggest thing that I think that sticks out to me is they're not creating anything. They're taking something God created, useful blood, right? And squirting it over here. And they're not creating this life. They're not creating this youth. They're redirecting it.
Right. They're mutating.
Yep.
It's a mutation. You're looking at the X-Men right here. What you're looking at is a live version of the X-Men is what you're seeing right here. They are saying, okay, take this blood, take this mutation, throw it all together. And what do we have with Iron Man? We have that fourth kingdom. Turn to Daniel chapter 2, I think it is.
Yep.
Daniel chapter 2 and verse number 43. We see the fourth kingdom and that mixture of the fourth kingdom. This is what they're doing with the DNA, with the blood of humans, they're mixing with mice and let's see, what do we got?
243.
Yep. Go ahead and read that, brother.
Sure. And whereas thou sawest iron mixed with miry clay, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men.
What's the seed, brother?
The seed is the offspring.
Right.
The seed is your posterity. The seed is your lineage. My son is a product of the marriage of me and my wife, and my son is our offspring, is our seed, is our posterity. And me and my wife are both humans, or, you know.
And the seed comes from the father.
That's right.
Okay, so there's a man's seed, and that seed goes into that woman, and it creates a child.
Amen. Yep.
Okay, so from that. Now, conception takes place, and it creates it. It says here, whereas thou sawest iron mixed with miry clay, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men. Yep. Who? Who's mingling themselves?
Seth, maybe?
The godly line of Seth?
Maybe it's the godly line of Seth. Or maybe this is figurative, brother, this whole seed thing and they, and maybe this is just a like an illustration, and we're not really taking this in context.
Right, because like, you know, I watched, you know, when I used to, before I was repentant of Hollywood and all those things, I seen things like Iron Man.
Yep.
What was that? The merging of what?
Yep, iron mixed with clay. It was the
iron
man clay. And machine. Yep, that's it.
Transhumanism.
Yep. And what do kids? What do kids want? They want to be a superhero.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And they watch this programming. Oh, they're addicted to it. They watch it over and over and over and over again. And they run around with their Batman T-shirt and their Spider-Man T-shirt on.
Right, and Dr. X and all those people, they had the mind power, Magneto and all of them, they have the mind, they have these other powers, which when you mix these two together with the sediment, but they shall not cleave one to another, even as iron is not mixed with clay.
Yeah. And so what does that mean? Okay, so you're mixing the seed, right, which is the lineage, but it's not going to bond, right?
No.
What's the offspring going to be then?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Hybrid.
Yeah.
What happened in Genesis chapter 6 and 7, all flesh had corrupted itself before the Lord.
All flesh. Even the animals.
Even the animals were corrupted. All of God's creation was corrupted.
Yep. They never explained that either.
No, of course not. We don't want to do that at all. Okay, so what we are seeing here is they want to take that blood of a young man. They're mixing it with mice now. Okay? Injecting a mouse with the blood of a man.
Mm-hmm. No talk of ethics in any of this.
No.
Which ethics is man-made, obviously, but it's a philosophical application of morality, which we understand from a biblical perspective as the laws of God.
Yep.
We don't use quote unquote morality as a pseudonym for the laws of God.
Right.
You know, I view morality as man's approach to live a quote unquote good life.
Yep.
But they totally ignore the consequences of this biological experiment.
Mm-hmm.
And see, they're helping the greater good.
Right, exactly. That's all it's for. Every longevity experimenter has a talisman, right?
Talisman.
Photos or videos of two mice, one timid and shuffling with patchy fur and the other sleek and vital, thrumming with the miracle elixir. But can mice be our proxy? Empathy beguiles us into believing so. So now, no, what he's really saying is we're going to have to work on humans pretty soon. They're already doing it.
We already are, right.
Yep. Yep. When you read that mice made to run a treadmill were given a 5-minute warm-up period, a 5-minute cool-down period, you think, very sensible. Yet mice don't have heart attacks, and their muscles start wasting suddenly, rather than gradually, as ours do. Mice also don't get Alzheimer's disease, so scientists mimic it by breeding mice with genes taken from humans. See that?
Okay. So, you take human genes, right? And you mix it with a mouse. So now what is that thing?
I don't know.
And does it need salvation?
Nope.
So if that's true, I mean, it's just a logical.
When these people are made hybrids, they are not going to be saved. They are taking the mark, and they are not going to be saved, I believe. I believe that's probably, you know, I can't say that's 1,000% sure that I am, but I'm leaning very strongly towards that. This is the next generation of evolution right here.
Yep.
It is moving in this direction, and it's Satan's gospel.
That's right.
That's what it is.
Yep.
But since we get Alzheimer's when we're old, he says, testing treatments in young mice often proves misleading. It doesn't help that labs use radiation to cause artificial aging, or that lab mice might live much longer than wild mice. Tony Weiss Corey told me, people say the young mouse finds the hole. Okay, we're good. Give me the treatment. And I say, we don't know if it's safe. We don't know if mice are the same as humans. You have to wait. We've cured cancer in lab mice dozens of times and made them live twice as long. Yet none of those results have transferred upstream.
Upstream, you know, up the genetic, up the evolutionary stream.
Okay, so let me get this straight. You've cured cancer in mice.
Mm-hmm.
And you're trying to tell me that, see, this don't add up.
Nope.
They are hinting at so many things here. It's sick.
Yep. All of it with the blood stuff and the mixing of the animals, the chimera stuff. This whole entire thing is a telegraph. And it's not, they're not telegraphing what they're going to do. They are telling you what they have already done.
Yep.
Yeah.
The reigning view among longevity scientists is that aging is a product not of evolutionary intent, but of evolutionary neglect. We are designed to live long enough to pass on our genes, and what happens afterward doesn't much matter. As the Giro scientist Richard A. Miller wrote, mice that devote their energies to eating and breeding will do better than those that spend valuable capital on eye repair and anti-cancer surveillance. Wow, he's pretty sick.
I can't even comment.
It's awful.
It's terrible.
We mature more slowly than mice and live much longer because, like whales and naked mole rats, are at much less risk of being eaten in our first year. Yet from age of 30 or 40 on, after we've spawned, we're living on time that evolution regards as pointless. Do you see what he's saying?
Yep.
Evolution is saying it's pointless. These guys are saying, after you at a certain age, it's time to get rid of you because you're just pointless. You ain't got nothing to do in life.
Not only that, but they're basically saying you're designed to eat and procreate.
You're bottom feeders.
Yep, that's what you're efficient at. And now we understand that us erudite brain, you know, us guys that have such beautiful brains that we take pictures of them and display them. Now we're obviously, we're further up the food chain. We're further upstream. So what we're going to do is we're going to use you useful eaters, and you are going to be our battery system, and you're going to help us live forever.
Yep.
Yep.
Yep. It reminds me of that movie Cocoon.
Yep.
You know, yep. In Cocoon, these aliens came down and they were in these weird, like, creepy cocoons.
Yep.
And the old people that were like 70, 75, and 80 would leave the nursing home and go swimming in this water. And they would live forever. They started to get their youth back, and they started, like, doing youthful things. And they started, like, the guy from the diabetes.
Wilford Brimley.
Wilford Brimley. That guy was in the movie, and he started getting younger, and they all started getting younger. Then pretty soon they met the aliens, they made a deal with them, and they all left and went to their planet with them.
Mm-hmm.
Sons of God, daughters of men.
Yep.
The aliens come from above to take care of you.
Yeah, right.
Okay, so the Buck Institute talks about this. They say if you just keep aging at the rate you age between 20 and 30, you'd live to be 1,000. Next page here. It says at 30, everything starts to change. From that point, our risk of mortality doubles every 7 years. We're like salmon, only we die in slow motion.
Yeah, we're like salmon, obviously.
The battle between, here's where the battle comes in, Brother Jim. The battle between health spanners and immortalists is essentially a contest between the power of evolution as ordained by nature and the potential power of evolution as directed by man.
The power of evolution ordained by nature. Every sentence, they contradict themselves.
Yep.
How does nature ordain anything?
Mm-hmm. The health spanners see us as subjects to linear progress. Animal studies take the time that they take. Life sciences move at the speed of life. Nothing that median life expectancy has been increasing in developed nations by about 2.5 years a decade. Verdon told me if we can keep that pace up for the next 200 years and increase our lifespans by 40 years, that would be incredible. The immortalists have a different view of both our history and our potential. They see centuries of wild theorizing that aging could be reversed by heating the body or by breathing the same air as young virgins, swiftly replaced by computer-designed drugs and gene therapies.
Breathing the same air as young virgins.
I don't know, but these creeps talk a lot about that stuff, man.
Yeah, they do.
Taking the blood of kids and all this other stuff, man. It's weird stuff, man. Mm. Weird stuff. These guys are a bunch of creeps. They see centuries of... Okay, so let's see. Bill Maher said this. Oh, wait, he said here, same air, and swiftly replaced by computer-designed drugs and gene therapies. Oh, you don't like that? We see some genes that might be concerning. So let's rewrite that out of your DNA.
23andMe. That's what 23andMe is all about.
Yeah, let's rewrite that out of your DNA so your children don't have that.
Yep.
Bill Morris said health technology made for 5,000 years was symptomatic and episodic. Here are some leeches is becoming an information technology where we can read and edit our own genomes. Edit our own genomes.
CRISPR.
Yep. Many immortalists view aging not as a biological process, but as a physical one. Entropy demolishing a machine. And if it's a machine, couldn't it be like a computer? Progress in computers or any way in semiconductors has been subject to Moore's law, the exponential flywheel that has doubled capacity every 2 years. They're just saying your body's a computer, Jim.
Well, they're saying a lot of different things here. In the semiconductor industry, the attempt has been to make biological semiconductors because, you know, what kills a semiconductor is heat, you know. So how do you make a semiconductor work is you use some type of, an exhaust fan, and you blow air on it to cool it down. But the problem is that fan draws power. So you have these limiting factors, and okay, well, if I'm going to be cooling this down, it's going to use so much energy. And if I'm utilizing that energy to do that, I can't use it in the supercomputer or the semiconductor. But if we could make a biological, quote unquote, living semiconductor or living processor, you know, computers, they've been trying to do this too. If you can make these things organic, the theory is you're eliminating the limiting factors.
Mm.
If you make them organic. Now, what's that? What's an organic semiconductor, and what happens? What if they merge that with a human being?
That's what they want to do.
Yep,
that's what they want to do. In linear progress, after 30 iterations, you've advanced 30 steps. In exponential progress, you advance 1.07 billion steps. Our progress is mapping the human genome looked like it was linear and then was revealed once the doublings grew significant as exponential.
Yeah.
They're mapping the human genome, and they are working on, and they're saying we are doubling all the time. We are tripling all the time.
Yeah. Now with data storage technology, I want to say, man, I was reading some the statistics on data is incredible, and data storage and all that stuff. But I want to say they're saying now that technology is doubling, I think, every 6 months.
Yep. Yeah. Rapid pace. A number of startups are trying to harness exponential curves. BioAge has been using machine learning and crunching genomics data to search for biomarkers that predict mortality. Kristen Fortney, the company's 34-year-old CEO, told me that she had also begun testing computationally designed drugs to find an unexpected substance that would powerfully affect those markers. She's about to seek her next round of venture financing, and she's optimistic. Biotech is something a lot of VCs don't understand, but machine learning and big data are things they do understand. Aging doesn't seem to be a program so much as a set of rules about how we fail. yet the conviction that it must be a program is hard to dislodge from Silicon Valley's algorithmic minds. If it is, then reversing aging would be a mere matter of locating and troubleshooting a recursive loop of code. They're going to hook these people up to computers.
Yep. And they always make these analogies to these different types of technologies and apps.
Wow. If it is, then reversing aging would be a mere matter of locating and troubleshooting. So after all, researchers at Columbia University announced in March that they'd stored an entire computer operating system as well as a $50 Amazon gift card on a strand of DNA. That's incredible.
Yeah, check this out. If DNA is just a big Dropbox for all the back office paperwork that sustains life, how hard can it be to bug fix? It's just a big Dropbox, dude. Now, Daniel 12:4 tells us, "But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and sealed the book even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased."
Wow. On the one strand of DNA.
Yep. And who invented DNA?
Yep. God Almighty. All right, you go ahead, brother. Keep reading.
In July, Brian Hanley, a 60-year-old microbiologist who lives in Davis, California, began trying to give himself the equivalent of an operating system update.
Okay, this is creepy right here. Go ahead.
He injected analogs of the gene for growth hormone releasing hormone, or GHRH, into his left thigh. Okay, now we know about human growth hormone.
Yep.
And Sylvester Stallone and all these guys with HGH. Well, this is the growth hormone releasing hormone. So this isn't growth hormone. This is the hormone that releases the growth hormone. Okay.
Wow.
GHRH is normally produced in the brain. But Hanley was essentially turning a pencil eraser size part of his thigh into a gland that made the molecule, which stimulates the heart, the kidneys, and the thymus. He believed that the treatment was working. His testosterone and good cholesterol were up. His heart rate and bad cholesterol were down. His eyesight was keener, and there was a peculiar side effect.
This is where it gets weird. Now, listen to me. I'm going to let you read this, but I want to explain something here real quick to people. Listen, when you mess with God's creation, God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that so shall he also reap. There is a side effect to you trying to play God. And these scientists, this is a side effect of them trying to play God. Go ahead, brother.
Yeah, and it's really interesting because, you know, we were talking about these different predictive movies, and I cannot remember which one it was, but there was this futuristic drug, and it was called Euphoria, and I think they called it E or whatever, but that's just all interest. That's an interesting byproduct, okay? Okay, and there was a peculiar side effect, Euphoria. On one bike ride, when his bike began to topple sideways, he just let it take him down, laughing.
He went nuts.
Yeah. Imagine if you're driving and you have euphoria.
So he has this euphoria, right? So he's in a state of, he's high.
Yep.
And he feels this high, and he's like, oh man, this is great. He's like on, it's like being on an acid trip or something.
Yeah.
And you're just letting something happen, like people gnawing off their own tongues and just weird stuff, like biting themselves and just like whatever weird stuff, drugs. But you think you're okay because you're healthy and everything else, and you're chewing your fingers off.
When I met with him, though, he moved gingerly around the dining room table, unable to sit for long. A few days earlier, He'd herniated a disc trying to lift a refrigerator. It is so interesting that every single one of these guys that are monkeying around, they get a terminal type of disability.
Mm-hmm.
And the more they try to prolong and the more indestructible they come, the more ephemeral and fragile they are. It's just, yep. It's so interesting. But it was his fourth significant injury since beginning his gene therapy. But he assured me that this was a common problem for people taking a course of regenerative medicine.
Regenerative medicine.
They feel so good that they try to do too much. When George Church, a Harvard geneticist whose lab collaborates with Hanley, heard about his injuries, he told me, it sounds like it affected his mind more than his muscles.
Right.
Yep.
Absolutely. A lot of it is in the mind. A lot of it was. It's a control factor. That's what Satan's going to do.
And yeah, so is he... I mean, well, it's just like when you take drugs, you know, and stuff doesn't hurt. Like, you know, when you're high or when you're, you know, alcohol and stuff doesn't hurt, okay? Well, it didn't hurt at the time that you're aware of. Mm-hmm. But when that junk wears off, are you better or are you worse?
You're worse.
Yeah. And this guy's clearly saying, it sounds like it's just monkeying with your mind.
Yep.
For those frustrated by the stately up the animal chain, from worms to flies to mice to dogs to monkeys, speculative treatments abound. In Monterey, California, man, all this junk happens in California too.
Yeah,
in Monterey, crazy. California, a clinic will give you young plasma for $8,000 a pop, but you have no idea what it's doing to you. How about where it came from?
Yep.
Peter Nygaard, a leonine 75-year-old Finnish Canadian clothing designer who got rich making women look slim in modestly priced pants. Oh, I thought I was going to say modest pants, but it said modestly priced. Yeah. Has had injections with stem cells derived from his DNA. Okay.
Has had injections with stem cells derived from his DNA.
How do you do that?
I don't even know.
Okay. He believes that the process has reversed his aging. In an interview a few years ago, he proclaimed, I'm the only guy in the world today who has me in a Petri dish before I was born.
What in the world does that mean?
Well, what he's saying is that they took out his DNA and they grew it and then somehow reversed the aging of it and, according to their calculations, reverted his DNA back to pre-birth, to like being in the womb, I guess.
That's wicked, man.
Yeah, and it's also uncalculable. It's like,
wow.
While Hanley has a tinkerer's mentality, there is a hyperbaric chamber stuffed behind his couch. He's a dedicated researcher. Since the FDA requires an authorization for any new tests on humans, he began trying therapies on himself.
So it reminds me of the fly.
Yeah.
That guy was doing all those tests on himself, right. And then there was a fly in that chamber, and he went inside that chamber with that fly, and it mutated his molecular structure. Yeah, molecular structure. It mutated all of his genes and everything and just made him like this freak.
That's a premise of many superhero stories.
Yeah. You know,
these scientists, and they need
Bruce
to find
Banner. Cool.
Yep, Bruce Banner.
Gamma radiation.
Yep, that's right.
That's coming up, too. There's a real Incredible Hulk in this article, too. Folks, I know this is long, but I'm telling you, there's so much stuff in here that, I mean, you know, if you skip it, it's like every little thing has like this huge point to it. It's like these people are psychos. This is what we're giving you basically is a snapshot of 2017 of what they're doing.
Exactly. And like we said, it's accelerating so quickly that by 2020, some of this stuff is going to be relatively mainstream if it already isn't.
Yep.
Okay. He had read literature on self-experimentation and tallied the results. 8 deaths, including that of blood transfusing Alexander Bogdanov, who we talked about earlier, and 10 Nobel Prizes. Coin toss.
Wow.
Hanley acknowledged that his research had a few basic problems as a template for reshaping lifespans. First, a sample size of 1. Second, a therapeutic method. And every scientist knows that a sample size of 1 doesn't, you have to throw it out. There's so many variables, you yep. can't even take it into consideration. Okay. But he wants to live forever, man. Yep. He's not experimenting on himself for the greater good of man. He wants to live forever, and he knows that if he doesn't figure it out and go to hell.
Yep.
So rather than repent and believe the gospel, he's going to make himself a human lab rat.
There you go. So hilarious. I can hear the roosters in the background.
Can you?
So awesome, man.
Okay. Second, a therapeutic method whose results may not last. Third, a gene whose effect seems to be regenerative rather than transformative. Mm. In order to comprehensively reprogram ourselves, we'd want to insert corrective genes into a virus that would disperse them throughout the body, but doing so could alarm the immune system.
So think about this. So what have they been doing with vaccines? That's what I want to know. When they start injecting people these vaccines, what have they been putting in, and what cancers have they caused by that, and other diseases and other problems have they caused later on down the road with these children that grow up, and then all of a sudden, boom, we have all these diseases that are here now that people are plagued with.
Yep, that's exactly right. And how thoroughly have the current FDA-approved vaccines worked? And how many times do you have to get a booster? And how many times do you have to get your flu vaccine? And how many times do you need to get your chickenpox vaccine? And all these different things. I mean, they want old people to get the flu vaccine every year.
Mm-hmm. Yep. You know, what's interesting here, you move on here, the advent of CRISPR, a gene editing tool, has given researchers confidence that we're on the verge of the gene therapy era. George Church and his Harvard postdocs have culled 45 promising gene variants, not only from super centenarians, humans who've lived to 110, but also from yeast, worms, flies, and long-lived animals. Yet Church noted that even identifying longevity genes is immensely difficult. The problem is that the bowhead whale or the capuchin monkey or the naked mole rat species that live a lot longer than their close relatives aren't that close genetically to those relatives, a distance of 10 of millions of genetic base pairs. The molecular geneticist Jan Vig said you can't just copy a single mechanism from the tortoise, which can live nearly 200 years. You know, talk about CRISPR. It's a gene editing tool.
Yeah, and, you know, I haven't really looked into CRISPR that much. I read a little bit about it, you know, but basically what it has the ability, you know, your DNA is a strand. It's a code of... And it's another reason why they always reference and call this stuff alphabet, because, you know, you have these chromosomes and they're in a certain strand, and I'm not smart or anything to be able to explain this stuff. But what CRISPR does is, you know, they analyze this strand and then yep. it'll say, oh, well, this is the bad spot in it. and it can go in and clip and pull that out and then weld it back together.
That's sick, man.
Yeah. And
she said it's not going to work because we'd have to turn our genome over to the tortoise and then we'd be a tortoise.
That's what the transhumanists are talking about. You know, these transhumanists, what they say is, you know, let's say you're in construction, right? Well, you know, as a endomorph, which means, you know, your skeleton is inside your body, you know, as somebody that's in construction, that's inefficient, you know. And what if you were an exomorph, you know? What if your skeletal support system was on the outside of your skin, like something like a turtle, right? And a turtle shell. And they're promoting the advantages. Transhumanists are literally talking about and promoting the advantages of crossed mutating yourself with a turtle or an armadillo, because then if you were in an hazardous environment, you could be protected from the hazardous environment.
That's crazy. Listen to this. Becoming part tortoise wouldn't necessarily alarm Brian Hanley. If we can only find the right genes and make their viral transmission safe, he declared, we can enable human transformations that would rival Marvel Comics.
Boom, there it is.
Wow, these people are sick. Super muscularity, ultra endurance, super radiation resistance. You could have people living on the moons of Jupiter who'd be modified in this way, and they could physically harvest energy from the gamma rays that they were exposed to. Incredible Hulk.
All comic book stuff, man.
You listen to what they're saying here, okay? They are literally telling you exactly the blueprint, I believe, that people are going to accept this mark of the beast, and they're going to allow their genes to be edited.
Yep, they are.
They're going to allow their DNA to be altered.
Yeah.
Because they're going to be promised this.
Yeah, if you're getting ready to die and you have an incurable cancer and we are viewing this as viable modern medicine, just like the majority of the population views vaccinations, right, mm-hmm. that are grown on monkey kidneys with fecal matter and aborted fetal tissue and all this other stuff, right? And we view that as a valid medical practice. Well, if you have a terminal illness and they say, oh, hey, listen, you're toast anyway, you're going to die in 2 weeks, but, you know, we could crossbreed you with this blind mole rat or whatever, and you might live 5 more years. Sign this form.
They're going to do it.
Yep. They're going to do it. And people are going to sign the form.
Skin for skin.
Yep.
That's what Satan said.
That's right.
He said skin for skin. A man will do anything he can to save his own life, right? To keep his own life.
Yep.
True words. Although Ned David has maintained his milk-fed aspect by battling his own aging on multiple forms, down to his choice of sneakers, he can't shake the idea that our foe is fundamentally unitary. David likens longevity research to a huge tree, and he believes that most current efforts, including the therapies his company is pursuing, are just branches of the tree. No one is working on the trunk, he told me mournfully. In December, however, he began to have hope that the trunkness, as he puts it, was in sight. David had long suspected that the epigenome was central to longevity. If the genome is our cellular hardware, then the epigenome is its software. It's the code that activates DNA. Telling a cell to differentiate, to become a macrophage or a neuron, and then how to remember its identity. The epigenome itself is controlled by agents that add or subtract chemical groups known as marks to its protein. Biologists suspect that when the epigenome accumulates too many marks over time, the signals it sends to cells changes dramatically, and that those new signals produce the effects of aging. The process could explain, for instance, why an old person's skin can refresh itself with new cells every month and yet continue to look old. In 2012, Tom Rando and his Stanford colleague Howard Chang published a paper noting that a fertilized human egg has properties of eternal youth. Sperm and eggs can age, but every embryo resets the clock. Chang, a dermatologist and genome scientist, had discovered that the epigenome in aging skin, once it has accumulated enough marks, turns the genome on with a protein called NF-KB in ways that inflame and age skin. When he inhibited NF-KB in genetically modified mice, it rejuvenated their skin. Rando's work in parabiosis seemed to hinge on a similar process, making stem cells revert to a more youthful stage. The scientists suggested that the idea would be to reset the aging clock, but to leave the differentiation program untouched. That is, to engage the stem cells and make them refresh tissues and organs without making them revert to pre-differentiated state, which would introduce hairy, tooth-filled tumors called teratomas. The goal was young Brad Pitt stage Benjamin Button, nothing more.
Mm.
It's all vanity.
Yep. Yeah.
After, what's that? Go ahead.
What happens if you end up with a hairy tooth-filled tumor?
I don't know, but it sounds gross. He said it's the most difficult field he's ever worked in, he said, because they fight over everything, you know. In December, Juan Carlos Espuza Belmonte of the Salk Institute in San Diego announced that he'd done the work that Rando and Chang had proposed. After 4 years of trial and error in a mouse experiments, he had figured out a way to trigger the Yamanaka factors, four genes that reset the clock in fertilized eggs. So they're going back in time?
Into the seed.
Mm.
Yeah.
Wow, that's scary stuff, man. Yeah. When lab mice drink water laced with doxycycline.
But only
2 days a week, they lived more than 30% longer. Wild mice subjected to the same method had rejuvenated muscles and pancreases. As in most modern efforts to circumvent aging, Belmonte was tricking the body, borrowing a powerful mechanism from embryos and very gingerly applying it to adults. He told me, you want a cardiac cell to become a new cardiac cell, but not to revert all the way to a stem cell, which would stop the heart beating. We did that. Our experiment was very rude and uncontrollable, and there will be other deleterious effects as well as many unknowns.
Yeah.
They don't know what they're messing with.
Nope, they don't. And they don't know what's going to be the result of all this monkeying they're doing.
Mm. He says, but this is very promising. Modifying cells' software was less dangerous than tampering with their hardware, he said.
Mm.
I think it sounds more dangerous.
Yeah.
As with software, there will always be a better version of our program next year. Wow. How arrogant are these people?
Yeah, my contention is the software, as God said, let there be, and there was.
God wrote the book, and they're trying, and God said not to add to his book, nor to take away from his book, because if you did, what would he take away?
Yep.
Your name out of the book of life.
Yep, that's right.
And Mike Hoggard makes a suggestion. He said, what if that's one of the books that God said not to touch?
Yep, that's right.
And he says they touched the book, and he said they edit it CRISPR, right?
Mm-hmm.
They edit the book.
Yep.
What are they doing to it?
Taking out of it and adding to it. They're doing both.
And what happens when you do that? I believe...
Yeah.
He takes away from their. I believe that they're setting themselves to be taken away out of the book of life.
Well, when do you stop becoming a man? If you're part mouse and part man, well, which part?
Well, when things became hybrids, who's the only family that was pure in the sight of God's eyes?
Those that were pure in their generation.
Right. And that was who?
Noah.
Noah, in their generations, right?
Yep.
Right, yep. Their genes. Mm-hmm.
So wait a minute. So when it said he was perfect, it didn't mean that he was without sin.
No.
So then, well, then what did it mean? It didn't mean that he was complete, right? Nope. So the word perfect has to be corresponding with his generations or his.
Right, right. Yeah. It was dealing with the corruptness of all flesh.
Yeah.
Versus thee have I context. Found perfect.
Right. Amen. Context.
So yep. There you go.
Yep.
So he goes on to talk about the idea is not to increase lifespan, but to have yourself working better, he told me. He chuckled and added, obviously, if you improve all the cells in your body, as an indirect consequence, you will live longer. Galvanized by Belmonte's work, Neil David flew to San Diego twice this winter to meet with him and to see if there was a way to prove that this was the ticking clock and then to nudge us back 20 to 25-ness. In mid-March, they discussed ways to proceed. Could they develop markers so that cells could change color in the lab if a drug made them younger and change to a different color if they were perturbed too far? Could the team activate telomeres or to rejuvenate the epigenome? Could they find genes that would act as an emergency brake on the reversion process? There was so much systems logic to think through.
I guess so. There's like these basic things that they can't explain. And there's these basic things that they cannot do. You know, God says, you know, can a man add to his stature? You know, can we turn one hair? We realize that we can dye our hair. You can get hair transplants where they take the plugs out and right. They move around and you grow it long and you do the crazy comb over and all that stuff. But they've yet to regrow hair on a bald guy.
Right.
But yet somehow they're going to flawlessly change this DNA.
Mm. It's scary, man.
Yeah, it's super scary.
I'll go on and let you read on here. But
okay.
Yep.
David was tantalized by the possibility of trunkness, yet still unsure. We can revert some tissues in a shotgunny way, he said, but we haven't figured out the Francis Crick experiment that changes everything, he laughed. That's so funny. If I knew what that experiment was, I'd be doing it now. Even if Belamonte and David find a substance that rejuvenates stem cells, the perfect Goldilocks amount, there will likely be unexpected side effects.
Yep.
For the hip bone is connected not only to the thigh bone, but to every other darn bone.
Yeah.
To repair tissue, you need to rejuvenate stem cells, but stem cells need to divide to do their job. And the division process invites random mutations, which drive cancer.
Okay, so, you know, Michael J. Fox is one that is really for this stem cell, and he wants injected with all these stem cells, and he wants that to be legal to take aborted fetus stem cells, aborted baby stem cells, and all these other things, because they're looking for the fountain of life.
Yeah, that's right.
Was that Ponce de Leon and all those that talked about the fountain of youth?
Yeah.
The fountain of life?
Yeah.
They want. You know, that's what they want is the fountain of life.
And how long has man been looking for that?
Thousands of years, ever since the Garden of Eden.
Yep, that's right. As soon as they knew that they weren't going to live forever and they didn't want it. And see, the whole point is that there is a remedy. There is eternal life in
Amen.
Jesus Christ, our Lord. And rather than resist and be prideful and be arrogant, why not humble yourself in the sight of God, repent, and believe the gospel?
Amen.
Solution, eternal life, instantaneous, eternal, never-ending life.
Amen.
And you can have it today.
That's right. Amen. Don't fall for Satan's gospel.
Amen.
You know, Satan's gospel in the garden. You know, some of this is just, you know, we could skip through here the next page here. I want to see if they talk about the two groups a little more. I want to see if I can find that here. Make you understand life, all kind of low-tech things. Okay, he's talking about diet here a little bit on page 9. We understand calorie restrictions and things like that. That's not that important.
And that's also all based in their whole food control thing.
Yep.
You're eating too much, you know. When we all know that it's not how much you eat, it's what you eat.
Right, exactly. That's right. Okay, let's go to page 31, Brother Jim, here. All the leading immortalists, go to that one here, and let's talk about Ray Kurzweil a little bit when he starts talking about, because this is where it gets a little interesting here, too.
Which page, brother?
That would be 31 on mine.
Okay, that's on. Okay, so hold on a second. Let me make sure that mine. Okay,
should be the same. I think. I don't know if yours is the same. It starts out the top of it as my fingernails grow faster, and what does that mean? I don't know, but something. And then talks about the leading immortalist starting out in tech.
Okay. Yeah, I got it right here.
Good.
Okay. Oh no, that's not it. Okay. Let's see. There's the. Okay, all the leading immortals. Okay.
Yep.
Yes,
that one.
Yep. Okay. Yeah, that's page 34 on mine.
This one's 31. I don't know what the deal is.
Okay. So all the leading immortalists, start right there.
Yep, that'd be a good spot because it's really covers really the gist of it. I want to skip some of those because now we're getting into the RoboCops versus the meat puppets and all that kind of stuff. This is where it's going to get good there. We can skip some of those other pages. They're not really that important.
All the leading immortalists started out in tech. That's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And all had a father who died young, as Ray Kurzweil did when he was 22, or absconded early as all did before he was born. They share an early loss of innocence and a profound faith that the human mind can perfect even the human body.
What's and that faith that it's a faith.
Yep, that's
for
right.
Themselves.
Yeah.
Not in God.
Humanity, pride. Yep.
And what does it say in the end times the sin will be? They repented not of their fornications, nor of their sorceries, nor of their witchcraft, right? They would not repent of that.
Yep.
And that's what this stuff is.
That's right. That's exactly what it is.
Larry Ellison there.
Larry Ellison, the co-founder of Oracle, lost his adoptive mother to cancer when he was in college and later donated $370 million to aging research.
Wow.
Death has never made any sense to me, he told a biographer. How can a person be there and just vanish? Bill Morris, who conceived of Calico, said that when he pondered the inevitability of death, I felt it was maybe our mission here to transcend that and to preserve consciousness indefinitely.
Okay, so this is where it's going to start getting really creepy, okay? When you get to this part right here. Now, here's what they want to really do, and what they're telling you is their whole plan. This is what it's all about right here. It's immortality, but he says, you know what? We're going to transcend death.
Yep.
They're shaking by their fist at God.
Consciousness. Yep.
Jesus defeated death on the cross.
Amen.
When he rose from the dead, right?
O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory?
That's right.
Yeah.
All right, here we go.
Immortalists fall into two camps. Those who might be called the meat puppets, led by DeGray, believe that they can retool our biology and remain in our bodies.
Mm-hmm.
The RoboCops, led by Kurzweil, believe that we'll eventually merge with mechanical bodies and or with the cloud.
That's creepy.
Kurzweil is a lifelong fixer and optimizer. Early in his career, he invented the flatbed scanner and a machine that reads books aloud to the blind. Those inventions have improved dramatically in subsequent iterations, and now he's positive that he calls the law of accelerating return for human longevity is about to kick in.
Wow.
I met with Kurzweil at Google, where he is a director of engineering, but he emphasized that he was speaking in his private capacity as a futurist.
Right.
Yeah, right.
Google owns Calico. Google owns Alphabet.
Yep.
Google is Alphabet.
Yep. Yep, they owned it all. They bought up all the tech, all the biotech. Though the first few days short of his 69th birthday, he looked much younger. After discovering in his 30s that he had type 2 diabetes, he changed his lifestyle radically and began taking supplements. He swallows some 90 pills a day, including metformin, basis, a coenzyme called Q10 for muscle strength, and phosphatidylcholine to keep his skin supple. How does it look? He asked me, plucking at his forearm. Supple, I said.
What a fruit.
Weirdos. Kurzweil thinks of such efforts which attempt to slow aging by using current technology as bridge one to indefinite longevity. But he also subscribes to the belief that the body is essential. It's essentially a computer made up of overwritable data and updatable apps.
Yeah. So listen, so what he's saying is basically is, you know, it's just like a computer. I can work on these computers. Google can do this. We have this software. So we shall be as gods. And God, you might have wrote that DNA right there in your book, but we're going to change your book and we're going to fix the errors in your book. Sound familiar? Yea, yeah. Hath God said, right in the Garden of Eden, that's what the devil said to Eve. Yea, hath God said, questioning the book. Oh, God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, I'm going to fix that book. Satan's offering a fix to the book. That's what he's doing, just like he did with the King James Bible, just like when he's tried to bring out these other English versions against the King James Bible, and like he's done with all these other things. He's trying to bring out new modern perversions because he's going to what? Fix the book.
Yep. Yeah, you need a systems upgrade.
CRISPR. You know, we're going to edit the book and update it.
Yep. Yeah, all that stuff was good, but you just need an upgrade now. All you got to do is upgrade, and you'll be perfect.
And Eve, God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, ye shall be as gods.
Yep.
Eve, he doesn't want you being a god.
Okay. Therefore, we'll soon be in the midst of a biotech revolution, which will offer personally tailored immune therapies for cancer, as well as organs grown from your own DNA. This is Bridge 2, which he believes will bring us to longevity escape velocity within about 15 years. I'm actually a little more optimistic than Aubrey, he said. Bridge 3, which he expects us to cross by the 2030s, is nanobots. Blood cell-sized devices that will roam the body and the brain, cleaning up all the damage that De Grey wants to fix with medical interventions. I used to call it the killer app of health technology, Kurzweil said, but that's not a good name.
So look at this. I think it's interesting. So he's got the three bridges there, right? And the third bridge is what? Is to merge, right? He says to get the nanobots in. When we cross bridge 4, he says, those same nanobots will connect our brains to a neocortical annex in the cloud, and our intelligence will quickly expand a billionfold. Well, isn't this interesting? Bridge 4, the fourth kingdom.
Yeah.
Interesting yet, huh? The fourth kingdom, bridge 4. He says, and our intelligence will quickly expand a billionfold. Once that transformation happens, that fundamental transformation, right?
Yep.
Once that transformation happens, in 2045, the singularity occurs and we become my gods. Oh, my God. Mm. Say that.
Yeah.
It's almost like you want to say, he didn't really just say that. No, you didn't just say that, did you?
Yeah. Oh,
he did. He just said it.
Yep. He said it, and the guy's basically the chief of the head think tank of the literally biggest corporation in the world.
Right. So what did he say? He said, ye shall be as gods. He just said it. Yeah. Oh, my goodness. He just said it. Can you believe that? For a time, we'll be a hybrid of biological and non-biological thinking as the cloud keeps doubling. The non-biological intelligence will predominate, Kurzweil said, and it will be anachronistic. Then to have one body. He raised his arm slightly and squinted at them. A carpenter troubled by a burl in the wood, Kurzweil acknowledges that he was profoundly affected by the early death of his father. Frederick. Frederick was a brilliant conductor and a pianist, but he worked incessantly to make ends meet and was often absent from the family. Kurzweil's mother once observed it was hard on Raymond. He needed a father, and his father was never around. Kurzweil has preserved 50 boxes of his father's effects, everything from his letters and photographs to his electric bills, all pack-ratted into a strong storage facility in Newton, Massachusetts. He hopes to someday create a virtual avatar of his father and then populate the doppelganger's mind with all this information, as well as with his own memories and dreams about his father, exhuming a Frederick Kurzweil 2.0.
Yeah, he wants to raise his father from the dead.
Man, this is weird. Okay, so this reminds me of something else. I keep thinking of these movies, and I'm not trying to, but I'm just telling you, like, when I was a kid, I watched all this stuff, and I remember watching Stephen King's Pet Sematary. And that's what he did in Pet Sematary. They buried their little kid in that pet cemetery, and anything you buried over in that cemetery came back alive. And that kid came back alive as a murdering, wicked devil, and it was killing people.
Yeah. And see, that's another very interesting point to point out. You know, with all the predictive programming and all of these different movies, many of them have had fatalistic aspects, you know, and the message has been, oh, yeah, you can try this, but look what's going to happen. You know, you think this is going to happen, but this is what really happens. And they're telling you.
Do you know what they had to do to that kid in that pet cemetery? His father, his father that resurrected him and stuck him in there. He had to take a needle and he had to stick it in him and kill him. His own son.
Yeah.
See how sick they are?
Yeah.
That Stephen King's got a sick mind anyway. That guy's got a legion of devils in him, man.
Yeah, he's a devil.
Yeah, he is a wicked man. We have spent millennia rationalizing the tragedy of death. Oh, it's natural. It's the goal of life, Kurzweil told me. But that's not really how we feel when we hear that someone we love has died. He fell silent, then reverted to the question of how realistic his father's avatar would be. How consoling. Passing a Frederick Kurzweil Turing test is getting easier and easier, he said, smiling wryly, because the people who knew him, like me, are getting older and older. The meat puppets fighting off old age. Notice this, though. Bro, let's back up for a second here. These guys can't deal with death.
Right, exactly.
They can't accept death at all.
Nope. The whole point and emphasis of his entire career is emphasized on resurrecting his father.
Right, and Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that Amen. Cometh to me, though he were dead, yet shall he live.
Amen, and he is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And no man can come after me. You know, what's the Bible talking about? Hating your father and your mother, right? And following Christ. And the point is that the void that all these guys are trying to fill with quote unquote technology and immortality, all the voids and all the solutions are fulfilled in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Amen. Amen. Go ahead and read about the meat puppets here.
All right. The meat puppets fighting off old age must contend with evolutionary contingency. Jan Vajig, who co-authored a recent paper arguing that our lifespan is basically capped at 115, told me, yes, our bodies are information processing systems, but to fix the body as computer requires, an in-depth understanding of what's going on in your cells at a molecular level. And we don't even know how many types of cells there are.
Yep.
Exclamation point. Creating a human. Okay.
Listen to this. Now, this is where it gets weird. Go ahead.
Creating a human is not nearly as easy as creating an AI, which is artificial intelligence, because we're so very confusing and unintelligently designed by random changes acted upon by natural selection.
Okay, stop there, because that's not what the Bible says. I'm going to show you what the Bible says about us. Okay? Because this is, that's
evolutionary devil talk. Is what
yes, it is. All right. David said in Psalm 139, I will praise thee. Actually, David said, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made.
Amen.
Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned when as yet there was none of them.
In thy book.
In thy book, that's the book.
All my members were written.
God wrote the book of DNA. God wrote the book.
That's right. And,
you know, better men than I have preached on that subject than understand that. You know, I'm not one of them. But Brother Hoggard has preached on that before many times, and he's got different teachings on that. But it's just, it's amazing when you look at that, because that's how the Bible says you're made. She's saying, no, God made a mistake.
Mm.
These are the, you keep in mind, these people that follow evolution, go back and listen to my series on evolution.
Yep.
Go back and listen to who these people are. These are the people that that said that Margaret Sanger's that brought you Planned Parenthood. These are the people that brought you the most merciful thing a large black family can do is put their baby to death.
Yeah.
These are the people that believed in natural selection. Yeah, see what she said there? What is natural selection?
Yep.
Survival of the fittest.
Yep.
That was what Hitler believed.
She said unintelligently designed.
Yeah. What are they doing? Shaking it. God, we're going to fix the mess you created.
I think Jan's probably a guy, though.
Probably. Yeah. Who cares?
Yeah.
Loser. Another wicked devil that needs to be saved.
Amen.
Read about the RoboCops here.
The RoboCops must contend with the boundaries of the human terrain. Osman Kibar, the CEO of a biotech company called Samumed, told me, we humans are very creative. When we hit a biological limit, we cheat, like Kurzweil, who's saying, let's change the definition. Let's change the definition of human.
Wow.
Okay. Let's change the definition of human. Let's change the definition of marriage. Let's change the definition of what a man is and who a man is and who a woman is and who a boy is.
Let's change the definition of repentance. Let's change the definition of all those things. And you know what? That's Satan's game plan. Satan is so subtle. He's not going to take it out of the book completely. He's going to change the definition of it.
That's right. That's what the progressives do.
Yep.
You just hijack the definition and change the definition. That's how you change the gospel.
Yep.
Yep.
Bingo.
As each of our functions is uploaded or replaced, at some point you stop calling. Okay.
Now,
wait a minute. This is what we've been talking about.
Yep.
Okay. Okay. At some point, you stop calling that a human and start calling it an AI.
Yep.
We already have technologies that work inside the body, such as pacemakers and cochlear implants. They're incredibly inefficient, incredibly clumsy, incredibly mechanical. A paralyzed man recently typed 8 words a minute by using a brain computer interface inserted in his motor cortex.
Mm.
How long will it be before the advantages of scaling and precision manufacture can be applied to the whole body?
Mm.
The 2045 Institute, started by a wealthy Russian inspired by Kurzweil's timeline, believes that we can at least begin making down payments on that moment. The Institute's website has an immortality button, which you click to start the development of your own personalized immortal avatar. You can select from among a remote-controlled robotic copy a full body prosthesis topped off by your transplanted head on a top of the line, wholly artificial body containing your uploaded essence, which will achieve perfection of form and be no less attractive than the human body.
Wow.
And wow. This is going to be something that we address in the future with a OPBC online, and that is pornography.
Yep.
In the future
of fornication. That's right. Yep.
And that's exactly right. What this is. That's why you got women now marrying robots.
Yep.
Yep.
It's all that's where that pornography, that's where fornication, yep. That's where all those things are headed. That's yep. The direction.
Mm. Yep, because now you're this 30-year-old overweight, underachieving video gamer that lives in your parents' basement, right? And I don't have to get a job, and I don't have to, you know, produce and I'm not saying to be attractive, but I don't have to take care of myself and provide for my family. I can just order this robotic looking woman type person, and I can marry that person or not marry that person or what, and marry, I mean, crazy marrying a robot. First off, God instituted marriage, and it's between a man and a woman, and it don't got nothing to do with a robot.
That's right. That's right. But that's where it's going. It's that they say the sticking point seems to be what to do about our heads, specifically our brains. Yeah, your brain's in the way. The futurist Juan Enriquez told me, we'll be able to transplant a mouse's head within 5 years. And then it gets real interesting. Does Mickey remember Minnie? At the moment, however, no one has figured out how to refresh Mickey's brain biology. No matter which body it's attached to, neurons don't regenerate and we don't grow new ones, except in the hippocampus. Stem cells imported to the brain don't help. They just sit there and then die.
Yeah.
Benjamin Rappaport, a new neurosurgeon resident at Weill Cornell Brain and Spine Center, who's working on a project that would directly connect brains to AIs. Oh, my goodness. That's terrible. Said the question is what is the fundamental you that is you?
Yep, there's a question. That's a fundamental question.
It's your soul, friend.
Amen.
And that's what they want.
Yep, that's right.
What Satan wants.
Yep. That's right.
Most people feel it's the mind, but can your mind exist only in biological substrate that weighs 1.5 kilograms, is very wet, and floats like a jellyfish? Or could it conceivably exist someplace else? In a computer, say, a two-way high-bandwidth interface with the brain could be available within a decade, and scientists are already trying to map the 100 billion neurons in the brain and the 100 trillion-plus connections between them. The connectome, as it's infelaciously called. Currently, you can model someone's brain at the synapse level only by slicing it up after the person is dead. Eventually, however, it seems possible that we could achieve a whole brain emulation with live subjects.
Mm-hmm.
You mean like Total Recall?
Yeah, you mean like Mengele and experimenting on people, cutting the tops of their skulls off and poking their brain with stuff while they're still alive?
Sickos. Yeah. There would then be permanent copies of our brains. That would, we hope, themselves have consciousness.
We hope.
Because God is the giver of life.
Yep, amen.
And what you have to understand is these people think that they can do that.
Right.
What they discount is that God, the Bible says Jesus is the light in the life. And once that life is gone out of you, once that soul is gone, you are no more.
Well, and let's say they create one of these things, and this thing laughs and cries and talks to you, converses with you, does all the biological things that humans do. Does that thing need Jesus?
Nope. but they're going to put a soul. It's going to have a devil in it. Is what's going to happen.
Yeah.
See what's going to happen here. Let me show you the market for this. So you understand it. A man's wife dies. He has 3 or 4 children. He downloads her entire her brain, all of her thoughts, everything about her into an android, and that android raises his children and is there with him.
Mm.
Do you understand?
Yeah.
So, see, mommy's not gone. Mommy's right here.
Yeah.
See how that works?
Yeah.
Or it's his wife and he's lonely. An old man is like 80 years old and he's very wealthy and he downloaded his wife's brain and everything, her DNA and everything to this system. And now they place it in an android and it looks just like her and they bring it to him. Yeah. And he sleeps at night with her, in bed with her. She gets up in the morning. She does the same stuff with him. She takes care of him like she always did. And it's like he never left.
Yeah.
Like she never left.
That's right.
Only they cross over into the wickedness and sinfulness and everything else because it's no longer trusting in God and it's not a real life.
Nope. Amen. And this article doesn't talk about last year, Google, Samsung, and one other company, they all filed for patents for a contact lens. And I know Samsung's contact lens you just put on your eye. Google's contact lens is injected your lens and like in front of your retina, and it's Wi-Fi connected to the net. And it's voice activated so that you can search. So that's all this melding with, that's the singularity. That's melding with the internet.
Yep.
Yep.
Absolutely. And this is what it's about. They want to upload you. And so do you see the market for this? Children will have their mothers, only it'll be a devil in there.
Yep. All those loner, stoner video gamers, they'll have their perfect mate.
Yep.
Yep.
But what would that be? But would that be us, they ask? Even if you set aside the question of what portion of being human is somatic, how much our identity derives from the tactical and sensory and emotional consequences of being embodied in flesh rather than in row D of a server farm? You can't dispense within the problem of memory. Unlike the RAM in a computer, human memories emerge from electrochemical inputs, which trigger your brain to match a pattern and produce an input. There is no physical location on your memory of a first kiss. The recollection changes with the stimulus that triggers it. Depending on whether you recall the kiss the next day and read about it in a letter or run into it that old girlfriend 20 years later. So if the Connectome project works and we're transferred to silicon, we might be invulnerable to physical decay and capable of astounding feats of learning and ratiocination, yet shorn of that first memory of crocuses in a spring rain, but maybe we'd have no memory of caring. You see, you're taking that person out. You're thinking you're going to download, but you're downloading with no emotions because the soul is not there of that person. You're creating a monster.
Yep. You mean like these people here, like these people that are in the fourth kingdom?
Yes.
Like, let's see. Where is Joel? Okay. Joel 1:5-7. Awake, ye drunkards, and weep and howl, all ye drinkers of wine, because of the new wine, for it is cut off from your mouth. For a nation is come upon my land, strong and without number, whose teeth are the teeth of a lion, and he hath the cheek teeth of a great lion, and he hath laid my vine waste and barked my fig tree, and he hath made it clean bare and cast it away. The branches thereof are made white. Proverbs 30:11-14, there is a generation that curseth their father and doth not bless their mother. There is a generation that is pure in their own eyes and yet is not washed from their filthiness. There is a generation, oh, how lofty are their eyes. Their eyelids are lifted up. You know, you think about these tech guys. There is a generation whose teeth are as swords and their jaw teeth as knives to devour the poor from off the earth, and the needy from among men.
Mm-hmm.
This fourth generation, the fourth kingdom of these bloodthirsty, heartless, soulless people that devour the needy and that devour the poor from off the earth. Why? Well, because the poor are useless eaters. The poor are the good human batteries, you know. These are the blood donors.
Yep.
You know,
and then you're dealing with a bunch of zombies.
Yep. Yep.
You're gonna have a bunch of zombies. That's what you're gonna have.
And they're ferocious.
Absolutely.
No soul.
No soul. That's right. Ray Kurzweil and Aubrey de Grey have the same backup plan if the work doesn't advance as quickly as they expect. When they die, they will be frozen in liquid nitrogen with instructions left to reawaken them once science has finished paving the road to immortality. Their optimism is admirable, and perhaps the anxieties that their blueprints stir up are just the standard resentments of the late adopters and the left behinds. People are daunted when they hear of these things, Kurzweil told me. Then they say, I don't know if I want to live that long. For Kurzweil, who has two children, the acceptance of inevitable death is no saner than the acceptance of early death. It's a common philosophical position that death gives meaning to life, but death is a great robber of meaning, he said. It robs us of love. It's a complete loss of our lives, ourselves. It is a tragedy. Well, the Bible says, oh, death, where is thy sting? Oh, grave, where is thy victory?
Amen.
Death can't steal anything from us. It's not a robber of us.
Amen.
We've been born again by the Spirit of God.
Right. Amen. What's that? We've conquered death through Christ.
Amen. So we're not worried about that at all. That's not the fear of our lives.
Nope.
And yet last year the geneticist Nir Barzilia hosted a screening of a documentary about longevity, and afterward he posed a question to the 300 people in the audience. He told me, I said, in nature, longevity and reproduction are exchangeable. So choice one is you are immortalized, but there is no more reproduction on earth. No pregnancy, no first birthday, no first love, and I go on and on and on. He laughed and amused by his own determination to load the dice. Choice two, I said, is you live to be 85 and not one day sick, everything healthy and fine, and then one morning you just don't wake up. The vote was decisive. He said choice one got 10 of 15 people. Everyone else raised their hand for choice two. This wish to preserve life as we know it, even at the cost of dying, is profoundly human. We are encoded with the belief, that death is the mother of beauty. And we are encoded too with the contradictory determination to remain exactly as we are forever, or at least for just a bit longer before we have to go.
Mm. That's like the billionaire that they asked, well, how much is enough? He said, just a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
Just a little bit more. How much longer do you want to live? Just a little bit more. Just a couple more years. Just a little more time, Lord.
Yep. Just
give me another day. Give me one more day.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yep. You see the sin of another gospel being portrayed here, and these people want to live forever in their sinful flesh, or they want to live forever sinners. And this is what Satan was offered them in the Garden of Eden, to live. They're so deceived, and they have nothing to hope for. They have absolutely no hope in their lives. Really, this is all they have. That all they have is this life, and they will fight for it as long as they can.
Yeah.
You know, and it's the sad thing is that this is what I believe is going to popularize the mark, you know, because these people are going to want to live forever, and they are not, there are so many people that it's going to sway.
Mm.
You know, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable.
Yeah.
But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his order, Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ at his coming. Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. For he must reign till he has put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death.
Amen. Praise the Lord. That's right.
Amen. So we understand that we have nothing. You know, Paul said, I protest by your rejoicing, which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord. I die daily.
Mm. Amen.
You know?
Paul died daily. He didn't want to live forever.
Yep.
Yep.
And what did he say about death and life? He said, but some will say, how are the dead raised up, and with what body do they come? Thou fool. That which thou sowest is not quickened except it die. And that which thou sowest not that body that shall be, but bare grain. It may chance of wheat or of some other grain. But God giveth it a body as it hath pleased him, and to every seed his own body. Don't mess with the bodies God made there.
Don't mess with the seed either.
That's right. Don't mess with the seed. Mess with the seed. To every seed his own body. All flesh is not the same flesh. But there is one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of beasts, another of fishes, and another of birds. There are also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial. But the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There is one glory of the sun, and another glory of the moon, and another the glory of the stars. For one star differs from another star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body, and there is a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first Adam was made a living soul, the last Adam was made a quickening spirit.
Amen.
Amen. So, you know, the first man, the Bible says the first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. And as is the earthy, so such are they also that are earthy, and it is the heavenly, such as they also that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now this Amen. I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption.
Mm.
So this is what God said. He says this, for this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is what? Sin.
Amen.
You can't write that out of your DNA, friend. Amen. You can't get CRISPR to get that out of your DNA. Amen. You are a sinner, and CRISPR can't fix that.
Nope.
Jesus Amen. Christ can fix it, not CRISPR.
Amen.
It takes Christ, not CRISPR, to fix you.
Amen.
It says here, the sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. You're guilty before God, friend. That's how we're going to finish this. You're guilty before God, and you need to be saved by the grace of God. The law was a schoolmaster to bring men to Christ.
That's right.
Okay? You are in Adam. You are a failed creature. Sin hath corrupted you, right? Sin came first and then death.
Amen.
And you are guilty. And without Christ Jesus, the Lord, you will die and go to a devil's hell. But you know what? When you are born again of the Spirit of God, when your sins are forgiven you, you have the hope of eternal life.
Amen.
You will take on immortality one day.
Yep.
Death will be swallowed up in victory for you. Death is not the end for us. Death is just a transition for us.
Amen. Death is the beginning of eternity.
Yes.
Yeah.
It is. You know what? Therefore, my beloved, and that's why he says to us, but thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, my friend, this could be the greatest day of your life. You quit trying to live forever as a sinful creature. And you repent and put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ alone. He died on the cross for your sins. He was buried, and he rose again from the dead. He defeated death.
Amen.
And unless you repent and put your faith, that means turn from your sin. You are a sinful creature before God. You are guilty before God, and you must be born again. Marvel not that you must be born again. You need Christ, not CRISPR. Repent and believe the gospel. And Jesus will save your soul and make you a new creature. And when you draw your last breath on this earth, you will open your eyes up in heaven for all of eternity. But if you go the way of the Antichrist, if you go the way of this AI, if you go the way of this, of the Google gods, ye shall be as gods. You fall for the lie of Satan and you are deceived, and you will go, you will open your eyes up when you draw your last breath here. You will open your eyes up in a devil's hell for all of eternity.
Yeah.
God forbid that you should do such a thing. Repent and believe the gospel today. Please listen to the gospel. Listen to the Bible, listen to the Word of God, listen to the truth of the Scriptures, and don't believe the lie of Satan who wants to rewrite the book.
Amen.
Jesus Christ is the author and the finisher of our faith.
Amen. That's right.
Please be saved today. We beg you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled unto God. All right, Brother Jim, I don't know. I think it's about it.
I think that was a great way to end it.
Amen. I think it sums it all up. And I know we'll be having more shows in the future talking about this, because this situation is not going anywhere. But this is like a briefing for 2017, really, for this issue, that it showed you what's going on with AI, what's going on, and how that relates to that fourth kingdom and what they're trying to bring in. So, all right, for Brother Jim, it's Pastor Jason Cooley for OPBC Online, a ministry of Old Paths Baptist Church in Northfield, Minnesota.
See what a morning gloriously bright, with the dawning of hope in Jerusalem.